day, like off from work, and dad's like, hey, I'm taking a half day. Why don't you come play golf with me? And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll have plenty of time to do that. You know, teeing off at 1 o'clock, but little did I know.
And we're live.
We're live right now?
Oh, God.
Oh, geez. What are we going to do?
Help. Help. I'm scared.
I'm posting something on Twitter, which I never use because I'm an old man.
I don't even have a Twitter
account. I don't really truly understand it.
I was going to say, I never got Twitter.
I can sum Twitter up in 140 characters or less.
I see what you did there.
It's the answer to the question, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, the way I always contextualize it is it's a like the comment section without the web page, like without the content. It's just like the comment section of actual life. And that's the way people tend to treat it, you know, just posting whatever. And then there's someone who's throwing an ad in there. And then there's someone trolling, and it's basically the exact same setup as the comment section.
Yes, I would agree.
Thanks.
Yep. I was wondering.
I concur.
I was wondering, and I wanted to see how you guys felt about this. Because when Steve and I first did GGR Pirate Radio, we were censored. Are we losing anything if we censor ourselves and we don't curse?
Losing?
Yes.
I mean, about a dozen words, I guess.
It depends on what your target audience is.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, because I guess
if you're targeting the elderly conservative and the minor community.
the elderly conservative. They don't want to listen to us.
Then in that case, I think the most appropriate response would be, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I think with our
with the people who listen.
Yeah, with our general,
we're not alienating anybody, are we?
With our general topics of
the people who know how to access this podcast probably don't care.
Steve, Marianne hasn't been like, Steve, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Like Mary Ellen, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She hasn't said that, has she?
No, she says she still listens to it.
Does she really? That's wonderful.
I mean, my guess is that she like kind of cringes and everything because we're just like slowly but surely making her more and more disappointed and letting her daughter marry me. But
Mary Ellen, thank you for listening. You're the best.
She's a diehard through and through. I mean, she's been there since podcast number one, basically.
Yeah. Mary Ellen, you're the best. That's thank awesome. You. Thank you very much for listening.
Well, she literally has like gotten new phones since we've gone through it. And she's like, Steve, show me what podcast I have to put on here so I can listen to your show. Like, legitimate fan.
That's wonderful.
Rockstar.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I'm so
excited. It's her birthday today, so thanks for bringing her up.
Well, of course, yeah. Wait, hang on. I just messed up my tweet. Fuck, how do you edit it? no, how do you fix it?
Fucking Twitter.
You done messed up now, buddy.
Damn it.
So I hope it was something you don't like. I hope it wasn't something like horribly racist or something like that.
You know who I hate?
Everyone who's not me.
You know what pisses me off?
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah, he's going to say it.
Oh, if this turns into Gary Busey again, I'm going to hang up right now.
Oh, really? Are you?
You know,
no, I'm not. You called me on it, and you were right.
Yeah.
The other day, I can't remember. I was watching some drama suspense movie that had Hilary Swank in it.
Yeah, you did.
And I had to turn it off because every time she would speak, I would picture Mike doing the voice.
But you could hear her talking through her teeth, though, couldn't you? You could just hear it.
I could absolutely hear it. And it was like I couldn't watch it because I kept getting I kept getting images of Mike doing her voice.
Clint Eastwood, will you teach me how to box? Teach me how to box and not get my neck broke in the end. Spoiler alert.
Mr. Miyagi, would you teach me some kung fu?
Teach me that karate. Karate.
Karate.
Okay, I'm fixing my tweet right now, so you guys talk amongst yourselves.
Words. Things and stuff. Guys, help. I can't do this without
I can't do this alone.
Sandwiches. Digital clocks.
Different kinds of sandwiches. Other sandwiches.
Guitars.
It. Guys, I got it.
What?
God damn you, Bernice!
Yes!
Thank you.
That fixes everything.
It always does. Except for that Girl Scout team's dodgeball hopes.
Every time. Did you isolate her crying, too? Because I think we need that. Like, if somebody gets butt hurt.
If somebody gets butt hurt,
it's just her going, boo.
The problem is that in that movie, I don't know if you remember, but like at the end of her cry,
yeah.
the, uh, the judge starts talking over it.
Oh, really?
So it's like, B-h-h-h-h-h. And then yeah. the guy, you know, Booger from Revenge of the Nerd starts talking.
It's always Booger. God damn you, Booger.
I love how that girl's like covered in like, she's like covered in arm hair. She has a mustache yeah. and stuff.
She's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, they really played it up that she's using these drugs.
And if that's the case, like, how did they not test her beforehand? Like, something's not right with this Girl Scout. Like,
yeah. She must be on the Russian Olympic team or something.
Speaking of, has anybody watched any of the Olympics?
I'm watching it right now.
A little bit. Like, I haven't watched a lot. I did watch...
None.
I did watch... What's that girl's name, man? When she whooped the Russian and then she looked at her and she gave her the finger wag. I was like, oh! Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
She Okay, so, like, the big thing was is she was pissed because this girl had been accused of doping, right?
No. She had been found guilty of.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just, accusations. Okay.
This is, like, done, signed, sealed, delivered, but she was still, like, technically able to participate.
You son of a bitch.
I know, right? Yeah.
Totally so, not, that's not fair.
Yeah.
If she was already found guilty, yeah. like, how was she able to still perform?
So hang on a second. Hang on a second. Because this isn't appropriate unless I'm playing the right music behind it. So let me go ahead and get this real quick.
So help me God if you play the Cantina music from Star Wars.
Wait, what? See, we need that now because that livens every day up.
Like, our library is growing and growing.
Yes, every day. No, but like, let me set the tone for you. So this girl was not happy that there was going to be a Russian who'd been convicted of doping. They raced each other in
the
swimming pool, and the American won
without the dopes.
Without the dopes.
19 years old.
Yes.
Damn right.
And then she looked at her and she shook her finger like Dikembe Mutombo. Nice.
I'm number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about those big purple splotches all over everybody?
I don't even know what that's from. What is
no,
that?
You know, are you not familiar with what's been going
on? I've seen it, but I haven't really researched
Apparently,
it enough.
It's like some ancient therapeutic thing.
Oh, it's the whole like...
they put a candle in a...
Yeah, the cupping.
Cupping is what they call it. I guess that's what it's called, cupping.
Or two girls in one cupping? Wait, no, that's something different. I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
Still to this day, I've never watched that.
Dude, don't.
You're not missing out.
No. Yeah, it was kind of a thing for about 8 seconds, and I never got over it.
I never felt the need to witness that.
I literally, yeah. I avoided watching it at all costs, and then because I had heard what it was, and a buddy of mine is showing another buddy of mine a video, and I'm on the other side of the laptop screen, and he just starts doing the dry heave like halfway through the video. He's like, see, that's enough. That's enough for me to know that I never want to watch it.
This is how long I've been around on the internet. Like, we used to wait for somebody to get up from their computer, and then when they were leaving it unattended, you would go to meatspin.com.
Yep.
So that when they came back, they just saw that. Like, tell me you know
their homepage. Meat we did it in college all the time, and they would go like to class with their laptop. They'd open it up, and Meatspin, there it is.
Eric, do you not know what Meatspin is?
I'm not familiar with Meatspin.
Mike changed his homepage to Meatspin later when he's not looking.
I know. It's totally happening.
No, like, but that video was like, it was like The Ring. Like, you had to pass it on to someone else to break the curse. Like, it sucked for you until you showed someone else, and then you could laugh, and you were kind of in on it. And then once enough people saw it, it's kind of over.
I'll even play the song. It's the dope version of the song. It's not the 80s version of it, but You Spin Me Right Round, Baby Right Round. Imagine that, and let's see if I can artfully describe this in our... A new attempt at not trying to curse as often. Two gentlemen of the homosexual persuasion engaging in an activity so furiously and enthusiastically that there is a counterclockwise motion spin of said meat. Hence the meat spin.
What really did it was that they had a counter on the webpage and it counted the number of times it went around because it was just a GIF and it just kept like it would play it once and it counted the number of times you'd watched it spin.
So you've had people like that open a laptop screen, it's like up to 40,000. Like, how long have you been watching
you're
this?
You're the new meat spin record holder.
Oh my God. Why? Why do websites like that exist?
Because people love fucking with each other.
Prank with each other. Yeah, there's no reason other than that. And then it just became like finding other ones that were like that webpage just to be the person who found the newest, grossest thing to prank your friends with.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean,
my God.
There was one, and he might be listening, I don't know. Ben Shaw, maybe if he's listening, he'll appreciate this. So there was one in the same spirit of Two Girls, One Cup. It was Japanese girls, because they seem to be game for just about anything, right?
Are you saying, is this finger painting?
No, this is not finger painting. That's gross, but I mean, I can see that. Okay. So this one involved little baby eels. Baby eels, right? And a funnel.
I did not see this one.
And putting the baby eels into an orifice with the funnel. Not the front door, the back door. Putting them in the back door. And then proceeding to shoot the baby eels out.
Oh my
God. Onto somebody else's chest. And then they ate the baby eels. Yes.
What?
It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. And me and Ben, because we're horrible people, would just see each other. And because you know how like you and good friends have like inside jokes that just you and, yeah. We would look at each other and be like, ooh, riddle baby eels. And we would just start laughing. And like nobody got it. And it was wonderful.
Oh, you have to be on some sort of watch list somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course. Like... Yeah. 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 But like, well, him and I were like the only people that had really made a point in our circle of friends to see Requiem for a Dream. So if you had been down here at this point, Steve, or, you know, vice versa, we had been living in Pittsburgh, you would have been in on this joke too. But Ben and I used to just take our fists, right? Oh. And just like, just put them up together and be like, goes. And just be like, ass to ass. And no one would get it. And we would just go even more frantic and see how like, ass to ass. Yeah. And like, no one got it. And they were like, what the hell is wrong with these guys? So much so that Ben drew an, he was doing a Conan page when
it
he was at the Cuber school.
It did not need comic relief. It did not need a comic design to explain it.
No.
But Ben did it anyway.
Yes.
Is that what you're getting at?
No, what he did was there was a Conan page that he drew, like Conan the Barbarian, and there was like some like slaver, and he made the slaver doing the ass-to-ass thing, like fists. He was like, yeah! It was wonderful.
And that's like not supposed to be a funny scene in the
movie
at all. Like
it's a
very
scene.
Like the end heart wrenching scene for one of the characters.
This is how low they've
so
gone.
Funny. Oh shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Like
college was awesome.
Oh man. Oh goodness gracious. So we've all read this Rolling Stone article, right? Like how Suicide Squad showcases the nasty side of fandom in 2016. If you guys haven't read it, go to rollingstone.com and just type in Suicide Squad and you'll see it. It's an interesting article, and we're going to get into it in more detail here in just a couple minutes, but we got about 4 minutes until we start, and we'll do our awesome intro.
Speaking of minutes until we start,
yeah,
I really need to get you on that Spotify so that the advertisement goes away.
Oh, because you can hear the advertising.
I can hear the advertising
yeah.
every time.
All right, we'll make sure we hook that up before we...
Ladies and gentlemen, use Spotify, and if you pay for it, there's no ads.
Yeah. Spotify, a non-paying sponsor of Comics Online Pirate Radio. Just like our old days when we had, what was it, Naked Juice was our unknowing sponsor of Pirate Radio.
Yeah, because we were just drinking Naked Juice all the time.
I'm trying to remember, like, yeah, that was our sponsor. Squarespace was our sponsor for a minute because Squarespace hosted our site. So thanks, Squarespace, I guess.
Yeah, I like Squarespace. They were good.
They're good, man. I miss them, too, because, like, now doing the podcast to put it on the RSS feed is, like, it's mind-numbingly difficult. I mean, I've gotten it down to a science now, but, like, before, it has frustrated me to the point of wanting to break a computer. But, like, Squarespace was like, what do you want to do? And you're like, I want to put a podcast up. And they're like, okay, cool. Here, we'll do it for you. Do you want to put an image with it? And you're like, yeah. And they're like, here, just show us the image, and we'll put it on there for you. We'll even upscale it to the right size. Thanks, Squarespace. Do you want us to tag anything in there? Yeah, tag like Superman, Batman, Pirate Radio, comics, Mike, and Steve. Okay, cool. Already done. Hey, we're going to go ahead and post this. How does that sound? Thanks. Yeah, no problem. Hey, you want us to email you when you guys have gone over 100 downloads? Could you? Yeah, of course we can do that. You're paying us. We'll do it. Like, when you're paying Squarespace, they will do pretty much anything for you, and they're glad to do it.
Anything.
And Mike anything. Needs anything.
Anything. Ass to ass.
Ass to ass.
Did we already name the episode?
Episode 17, Ass to Ass. I don't think we can do that. This is too early in the show, but...
No!
I mean, I think we kind of have to.
Are we
favorite comic book movies, ass to ass.
I just want to bring up a point that
we normally get.
Or just comic book movies, ass to ass. I think that's the name of the title, right?
We are listening to Will Smith right now. I just want to bring that up.
We are, yeah. Point. You see how I tie these things in? Yeah, okay. So Oh, God. Okay, so I'm going to out myself on this one, but I don't even care. So when I would get asshole customers at GameStop or Game Crazy, and I actually do it at the current place I work at, too, which I'm totally outing myself, and they're pissing me off, and they need to talk to customer support, I give them a fake 800 number. I've been doing this for years. I've been doing this since I worked at Blockbuster.
That's fucking great.
Oh my God.
So if people piss me off and I don't feel like hearing anything about it, I give them a fake customer service number. And the fake number is 1-800-ASK-FOR-ASS, which is 1-800. It's like, if I can remember what the keys are, I want to say it's like, I got to look at my phone to do it. Hang on a second. It's.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. How am I just now hearing
it's
about
this? It's 1-800-275-4277, and that sounds like a legit number, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you give them that number, and then they're just like, oh, okay. And then they'll call back, and they'll be like, oh, I think I got a different one. And it's fine, because once you've done that to them, the joy of knowing that they called Ask for Ass, and they were like, one of two things happened. They were either like, oh, hung it up, and they were like, all right, yeah, I'll see what you're selling. You know? Like, one of those two reactions happened. Then I'm like, all right, fucker, here's the real number. You know? Like, it's... And I can thank my radio DJ like idols for that. That would be Don and Mike used to do that to people all the time too. So thank you, Don and Mike.
I used to love the Don and Mike show.
Me too. Yeah, I absolutely. They're totally my inspiration for wanting to do this when I was a kid. Like, I was in eighth grade. I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to be like them.
That's great.
And now we're doing it here. Hey, guess what time it is, guys?
Time to start.
It's
time
to start this show. So we're gonna play our intro. I was gonna play a very special Comics Online Pirate Radio Comics Online podcast mashup opening, but Kevin Goswan is not here. Yeah, you, Goswan. And you're not listening to it now because you're probably doing something else, but you'll listen to this when you listen to the podcast later, like you do, because I know you listen to the podcast eventually.
He's probably driving. He's always driving somewhere.
He's always driving somewhere. So when you listen to this in the future, remember, Goswan, you could have had it one way, but you're getting it a different way because you didn't cooperate. Just
that
remember that.
So inappropriate and rapey, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, that was what I was going for, so.
I like it.
That's how we do things here. All right. So, without further delay, let's go ahead and get this party started.
For everything geek pop culture,
I'm Kevin Goswan, and this is Comics Online.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
You mess with Eric the DJ, and I'll rip your head off and down your neck.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Traitor!
Mike Lunsford, Balls of Steel.
Be like, oh, these are stupid guns.
Guns are for jerks.
Do it. Do it!
Come on, kill me, I'm here!
Come on, do it now, kill me!
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Verb
all the nouns. All of the nouns.
You're verbing all the nouns.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Bitches.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. My name is Mike Lunsford, and this is Comics Online Pirate Radio. We are now up to episode 17 of season 2. Right now, the working title for this one is going to be Comic Book Movies Ass to Ass. Joining me on Comics Online Pirate Radio tonight, I have got my constant host via the magic of Skype. His name is Steve Monick.
How can you not get pumped up after that intro?
I know. It's like the greatest intro ever.
Sick music, great drops.
Yeah.
We're calling this episode Ass to Ass. It's everything you could want.
How can you go wrong? Oh, we'll find a way, folks. We will find a way.
We always do.
Joining me in the FXBG Pirate Radio Studios in beautiful, scenic, toothless Fredericksburg, Virginia, I've got Eric Meyer sitting with me at the table.
Hey, what's going on?
I've also got behind the board the mystically talented and magically gifted, very handsome, very... lithe and wiry, I believe, is the term we're using for him now. And that is EK the DJ.
Hello.
How are you? We have the best sound drops ever. All right. So, guys, we've talked about it a lot already. But that's okay, because this is the things that we talk about. We talk about movies. We talk about comic books. We talk about the things that we love. But I want to delve into something a little bit here. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant for a minute. because one of the things that I love about our community, the community of nerds and geeks and film aficionados and comic book fans, is for the most part, we're pretty inclusive. If somebody comes up to you and they're like, hey, I dig your Batman shirt, you're not like, fuck you, man. Like,
I punch him in the face personally.
Well, that's you. I mean, they know better at this point.
Like, then he just screams, I am the knight, and runs off into like, the closet. So you can't go by him.
Where are you taking the drugs? I don't know. I swear to God. Where are they?
I just like your shirt.
I'm so sorry. For the most part, with the exception of Eric, for the most part, the group in general, the community in general, is very inclusive. We want more people involved. We want more people liking the things that we like. At least the people who should be running the show are like that. But unfortunately, with any community, with any world, with any group, there are the ne'er-do-wells. There are the trolls. That is the term that they've seemed to affectionately been referred to lately.
Yeah.
The trolls seem to be out in full force, and I've noticed that the internet makes them powerful. But also, as my grandfather, God rest his soul, was famous for saying, that power comes at an expense. It's because they're all paper assholes. They have no real power. They have no real strength. They have no real like freedom, or for that matter, they have no real bravery. All the things that they have to say are bullshit because they would never say them to anybody's face.
Yeah, they wouldn't get 10 spins on the meat spin.
They chicken out. Pussies.
Can't handle the meat
spin. Can't handle the meat spin. Maybe that's what the episode should be called.
Can't handle the meat
spin. Can't handle the meat spin. I feel like, why is Gus not listening to this? This is like right up his alley. This is like what goes on in his brain like every day.
Send him a text message. Yeah. Say, hey, we're talking about meat spins.
Yeah, go ahead and text him real quick.
He actually might be listening. I texted him earlier. So, Gus, if you're listening, this episode's for you.
This is for you. Episode 17 in honor of Gus.
Meat spins ass to mouth.
Good Lord.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I don't even know what's happening either.
Call it Jared's meat spins.
It just shows Jared. Oh, my God. Wow. He went there. It's funny how this devolved into just a bunch of dick jokes and stuff, because that's essentially what the internet is. What I'm referring to with all of this is there is a massive, massive clamoring.
Were we talking earlier about how we were going to clean up this episode a little bit?
No, this is so far, like per capita, this is the dirtiest
episode.
This is the
dirtiest show.
All right, guys.
We're going to clean this up for Steve's mother-in-law. So let's talk about meat spin.
Meanwhile, now she's scarred for life.
Meanwhile, she's like, what is this meat spin they speak of? I just picture
don't
her looking
at
it.
Go to the website.
Do not. Alan, don't look do it. It's like the Ark of the Covenant. Don't look. Just close your
happy
eyes.
Happy birthday to you. What have we done?
Oh, God. What have we done? We're all going to hell for this one. Oh, you know, God. Like, I've almost, I, like, my point doesn't even matter anymore. Like, who the fuck cares? Like,
dick jokes. Come
dick
on.
Hey, dicks and balls. My big point with all of this was just that, like, we're having fun. You hear how we're carrying on. We're having a good time. None of us are getting shitty about anything. None of us are like, we need to be censored, and we need to stop cussing, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. Because we're talking to each other. We're interacting with each other. And I think that's what's missing in our society right now, is that people do not interact with each other. And this is going back to a theme that I used on a previous podcast. Because we don't interact with each other face-to-face anymore, there's no fear anymore. There's no common decency. There's no respect for each other. And people will say some of the most horrible, insane shit to each other. Like, a guy reviews Suicide Squad, okay? Let me paint the picture for movies real quick, okay? When it comes to all movies, there are some movies that are artful and beautiful and fantastic and wonderful, and they truly are works of art. And you can watch them and you can be moved emotionally. And then there are movies like Suicide Squad. Not a bad movie, but it's eye candy. It's like a cheeseburger from McDonald's. You know, it's delicious. Is it good for you? Fuck no, it's not good for you. But it's tasty and it's delicious and it solves that immediate need for something. You got what you needed. You got your intake of food. You're happy now, right?
Yeah, I think that's the best explanation I've heard for it, honestly.
Not everything has to be like caviar or coq au vin or some other fancy food that...
Or some other gay shit that Mike knows.
Some other gay shit that Mike knows. Yeah, exactly. It's... Movie reviewers are reviewing movies for everyone, not just for you. if a movie reviewer says to you, and I'm going to read a Facebook post that I made because I almost practiced this little rant last night. Am I the only one that doesn't care about this who's better, DC or Marvel debate? Seriously, I like both. I don't have a favorite. I like all of the movies. Some of them are really good. Some of them are amazing. Some of them I would consider works of art. Some are just fun. Some are not as exciting as others, but they still have their merit. But boy, do I not give a fuck about what a reviewer says. It's their job to review movies. They have a very refined palate when it comes to film. They've seen movies from all over the globe. They've seen movies from directors who've been doing this for decades, who have been trained classically. And comparing that, those types of movies, to something like Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman or The Green Lantern, for instance, which totally sucked, but I watched it the other night on FX and I still enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, they're not the same thing. But, like, a film reviewer's job is to review it for the masses, not just for your little narrow world that you love. And that's fine. They should be doing that. Comic book movies are like pizza. Even when pizza's bad, it's still good. Same thing with those comic book movies. If a restaurant critic took your favorite pizza place and gave it 2 stars, would you freak out and threaten to reveal the reviewer's home address so that people can go throw pizzas at his house and potentially stalk him and murder him?
No, screw that. That just means instead of 30 minutes or less, I'm getting my pizza in 25 minutes or less because of the lack of business from those crazy people that would react.
Exactly. And that's
I'm still going to eat my favorite pizza, except for now I'm going to get it faster, and they're going to spend a lot more time making sure my pizza's right.
And what does that say about the review? The review doesn't fucking matter. Okay? And, like, imagine that you start dating somebody. Okay? They're awesome. They're cute. They get your dumb jokes, and you guys have fun together all the time. But then all of a sudden, some random guy comes up, and he looks at her, and he takes a picture of her, and he rates her on his website, rateyourgirlfriend.com. Mind you, this is not a real website, so don't go check it out. Seriously, it's not.
However, business idea?
Yeah, I know, right?
We just stalk around people on dates, like on Friday and Saturday nights, taking pictures of them and putting them up.
Yeah, I know, right?
You can pay for a higher rating.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, like Yelp, right? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So somebody
Yelp
from
for
this
humans.
Help? Wait, no.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
And that's what they need. Yeah, exactly. So there you go.
All of a sudden, some guy from rateyourgirlfriend.com gives your girlfriend a 4 out of 10. Would you now dump her because of the low rating? No. You might be frustrated because in your eyes she's a 10. Or because their feelings might be hurt because still, it's kind of insensitive. But still, it doesn't matter. I got news for you. When it comes to actors, directors, producers, any of those that are involved in movies, all of those people are professionals. They really don't give a shit if anybody says that their movie's bad. Because ultimately, if somebody says to Will Smith, hey man, After Earth sucked, you know what he's going to say? Go fuck yourself. I got to make a movie with my kid about what it was like post-apocalyptic Earth, and I got to run around and fight dinosaurs. It was fucking awesome.
And I made plus more in money analogy, in 6 months than you'll make all year.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, plus in your analogy, Mike, like your girlfriend over this past weekend made $135 million. So she's looking pretty attractive in my eyes. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, I just went, I worked for 8 hours and I came home and she made me macaroni and cheese with smoked sausages in it. Oh, we call them tiddlywinks. To me, that's worth $135 million. Okay? That's a relationship I'm willing to stick with, even if somebody says, oh, well, it wasn't a very good plot, and your girlfriend's not very good at explaining expository. So shut the fuck up. Seriously. Like, enjoy something. Don't give a fuck what anybody else says. Don't care if somebody else says, well, this it was shallow and pedantic, using one of my favorite quotes from Family Guy, that Peter grabbed onto. Shallow and pedantic. Don't be that guy. Just enjoy things. Not everybody has to enjoy everything that you enjoy. That's what makes it great. Because if everybody enjoyed it, then it wouldn't be as fucking special. It wouldn't be as great. You wouldn't be able to connect with it because everybody would connect with it. And then it would just be like, hey, you know what's great? Water. I know, right? Isn't water the best? You know what else I love? Air. Air's the best. I know. Everybody
has
their own taste.
I don't have any. It's like I'm addicted to it or something.
I'm addicted to air.
I can't go a couple seconds without it. So kind of back to your point, Mike, and something we talked about on the dead technology would turn out about a little bit to be a rant about current technology a little bit. But we were talking about like everyone has a voice anymore. And in a lot of ways, that's positive. But I think this is one of the examples of how it's a negative. Is because everyone has a voice now, so they expect their voice to be heard and to have everyone's opinion equal. But sometimes people get paid for their opinion.
Yeah.
So even though you can provide yours to a large audience, you're still not getting paid like they are. So whether you agree with their, again, opinion or not, yep, is no bearing on whether or not yours is any more or any less valid than theirs. But theirs is going to get posted a lot more because that's, yep, what they're paid to do, whereas you're paid to do whatever, and you have an opinion about this topic as a hobby.
Yeah.
So now everyone's all, you know, like you said, butthurt because they have their opinion. It doesn't match with what the quote-unquote professionals are doing. And so they feel like they need to do something to equalize the playing field.
Yeah.
And I don't think they understand that that's never going to happen.
What's even worse, though, is that it's not just a, they gave this movie a bad review, but I liked it. No, it's worse than that. It's, this is all a conspiracy, man. Marvel.
Marvel paid him.
Marvel is secretly paying Rotten Tomatoes to give bad reviews to all the DC movies so the DC movies don't make as much money. I seen it myself. Rush Limbaugh talked about it on a show the other day. I seen it.
I seen it.
Went to the future, came back, told you everybody about it. Magical rope.
Here we go.
Here it comes. This is what happens when you live in Virginia. You got out soon enough, Steve, so you were able, yeah, to avoid it. It infects your brain. You can't,
it took
get
a lot of showers to get that off of me.
As you cried, just laying in the...
Rocking back and forth at the bottom of the cold water. Hurting my skin.
It frightens me that everybody thinks not only that they have a voice, that they can change everything. And this ties together with a rant that I went on Comics Online podcast when we were at AwesomeCon. Right now, there are actual hashtags where people are trying to turn Captain America gay. They want him to be gay. Captain America should be gay.
Give Captain America a boyfriend.
Yes, thank you.
Hashtag.
The other hashtag, give Elsa a girlfriend from Frozen.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I haven't seen that one.
Because people seem to think that every stupid idea that comes into their head is valid and that it should be put on paper. And not only on paper, that everybody should see it.
Well, the Captain America thing wasn't even just one person. That was,
no,
like GLAAD. That was like the gay and lesbian organization.
Why would you make Captain America gay? When has he ever shown you anything that would make him gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, granted, if you guys are reading the current Steve Rogers comic book, it would almost work with what's going on.
How they're just fucking changing everything.
Yeah, basically. Well, no, it's actually, and surprisingly enough, a lot of people were like, oh, well, this is all just like a publicity stunt. It's actually a really, really good story. So if you guys get a chance, go out and pick up the new Steve Rogers series. Yeah. It was the one, if you haven't heard about it yet, it was the one where he says to Dr. Eric Selvig, he says, Hail Hydra, and it turns out that he's been a Hydra agent forever. And everybody was like, oh, this is a publicity stunt. It's actually a really, really, really good story. I'll give a little bit of a spoiler on it. So the Cosmic Cube is actually a sentient being. It becomes a little girl.
Yeah.
Just read it. I can't tell you anymore. Like, you need to read it.
Yeah.
It's that good.
They're on, what, issue 3?
Issue 3 or issue 4.
Four is coming out.
Yeah.
They also, they have a lot of these comics on YouTube,
yeah,
from a guy called Comic Story, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
He reads them out, and it's
even
great.
Better. If
like
you go
bedtime stories?
Exactly.
Even better, if you go to YouTube and you search Geek Pop Culture Network, you can see our very own Kevin Goswan and Troy David Phillips doing the flashback top 5, where they talk about the top 5 comic books that have come out each week, and I know for a fact there's no way that they avoided that one. I know they, yeah, had to talk about that, so that's definitely there. Okay, so rant over. I feel a little bit better.
And for anyone listening who thinks like, oh, well, these guys are just Marvel fanboys or whatever, and they're just trying to shit on something DC. Like Mike said, like, I don't think it's that.
No.
I don't think it has anything to do with – I mean, if the exact same situation, if Civil War had these exact same things where,
yeah,
the reviewers were meh on it, but everyone else was like shitting their pants happy over how it turned out,
yeah,
I think we would have the same result. It's like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah,
lighten up.
Which is funny, too, because I actually – you guys might hate me. I didn't really think Civil War was that great. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good.
I
thought it was better than Batman vs. Superman.
I thought Winter Soldier was better.
But Winter Soldier is by far superior, and that will be mentioned in our list of movies in just a little bit.
Spoiler from our movie, top movies. I think,
yeah,
that's number 2 on my list.
I think we're all going to mention that one because that one's one of the best comic book movies I've ever seen. But either way.
But the thing with – and. Steve said something about,
yeah,
people thinking we're Marvel fans or something. I'm,
yeah,
sitting here with a Joker shirt on right now,
yeah,
a pair of Batman headphones.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm actually, if I had to pick one.
My first screen name on AIM when everybody had Instant Messenger was Steel 8821.
Nice.
Because I love the Man of Steel that much.
Nice.
Oh, I thought you loved Steel, the movie with Shaquille O'Neal in it where he's...
Steve, I told
John,
you that.
Where's John
I told
Henry
you that in confidence.
Yeah. I'm pulling deep
spoiler,
DC references here.
Spoiler,
so,
that's Mike's on. Number one.
I told you not to tell everybody that. That was just between me and you.
Wait, I didn't know we were allowed to use Shaq movies. Can I still put Kazam as number one, please?
I mean, like, it wasn't a movie. It was a video game. But Shaq Fu, right? Like, we can just include that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Shaq. I mean, he's okay. Kind of a superhero in that one. But totally. Kazam, he made the Sky Rain candy. So, you know,
that seems
I don't
like
know
really
what superpower you'd want that's better than that.
And the answer to that is none, because there is none.
Exactly.
That is the best.
So we can just end the podcast here. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in, guys.
All right, guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, ultimately with all of this, and I've said this and said this and said this and said this, whether it was on GGR articles or whether it was on a Facebook post or whether it's on the podcast here, our role as comic book fans and our role as decent human beings is to be inclusive. Not to be exclusive. We're not supposed to tell people, you can't have this, or because you said the thing that I don't like isn't good, then I'm going to say all these horrible things about you, and you're obviously a bad person. Everybody can like what they want. It's okay. Seriously, it is all right. It's not that big a deal. And anybody out there who's butt hurt, please, I would love for you to message me. podcast@comicsonline.com. Feel free to message me. I would love to hear your take. And you know what? I will put you on the air if you've got something to say that isn't just a bunch of diarrhea spewing out of your mouth. Because that's what I think it's going to be. But if you've got a valid reason why you think that you have the right to say anything like this to people, that you have any right to essentially like threaten people because of their opinions, please, 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 I'm here. Fight me, bro. I'm here. Let's do this. Like,
And it's not like you're saying like, anyone who has a differing opinion from you, come fight it. You're just saying, like, anyone who thinks it's cool to just fucking slam people for their opinion and you know, was it dox them?
Where they release their personal information.
There's no place for that.
Yeah, because let me tell you, if you really want to break it down, our world is in an interesting spot right now where we're very, very, very divided. And we're like, it's especially because of, like the presidential race, and we're really not going to get into this. I swear to God, we're not. Okay.
Yeah. Let's.
that's a little more serious. Okay. So if somebody who's like, well, what if you're saying bad things about this person and this person's beliefs? That's different. That's talking about the person that could be running our fucking country. Okay. This is about movies. This is about something that we spend money on. This is about something that's supposed to bring us joy and happiness.
And it used to, back before comics were such a huge thing.
Yeah.
Anybody that was a comic fan, like, you were almost instantly friends with, because it was like, you know, it was like a brotherhood.
It was a brotherhood. And
now it's Marvel and DC fans are for some reason fighting. I'm a fan of both.
Me
I
too.
Want all of them to be good. Granted, Marvel is a step ahead of DC in the film universe, and DC is getting
what you're missing out
thrashed
on.
Thrashed by their editing crews, but
yeah,
but you could argue too. Like, I mean, DC is much stronger in the live action TV and the animated stuff.
Yeah.
You're splitting hairs over who does better in the actual comic books where it all started from. I mean, that's just personal preference.
Yeah.
So I mean, whatever.
Remember, Steve, you're a big basketball fan.
Yeah, I watched the men's basketball team beat Australia today by 10 points.
Eric, you're
America.
Woo, America. Eric, you're a big football fan.
Yes, I am.
Some of the best teams that have ever existed. We'll use the mid-90s or early 90s Bulls. Or I'm sorry, early 90s Bulls and late 90s Bulls as an example, okay? They were by far one of the best teams that's ever existed in the NBA, right?
Yeah,
correct.
What happened to all the other teams in the NBA because of them? They stepped up their game, didn't they? You saw teams like the Charlotte Hornets, who had an incredible run, who probably could have put together a championship run, but the Bulls were there stopping them.
The Knicks were amazing. The Heat had their years when they had Alonzo Mourning.
Exactly. You had the Sonics were good. The Lakers were good.
The Rockets were awesome.
The Rockets were good. You had all of these great teams. I remember there was even a good Bullets team in there at one point, but that got steamrolled by the 72-10.
We're not calling them the Bullets anymore.
Well, they were still the Bullets then.
No, we have to retroactively change the name because it's offensive.
We have to call them Wizards.
Yes.
We have to call them the leader of the Ku Klux Klan.
The artists formerly not known as the Wizards.
Okay. Yeah, that other name they had, the Boulets.
But the Redskins are still fine.
Redskins
right?
is fine. Yeah, no. I actually,
they're named after potatoes, guys.
Redskin potato guys, come on. Either way, my point with all of this is a great comparison to what's going on with DC and Marvel. Just because the Marvel juggernaut that is the early 90s Bulls is amazing doesn't make the DC comic books Los Angeles Lakers any less good.
And, you know, I think we're all forgetting a few things about the early stages of this Marvel universe that we have now,
yeah,
because we've seen so much from it and
yep,
we've gotten so many good movies out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, and you can string me up or whatever you want to do for this, but
yeah,
I wasn't a fan of the first Captain America. I wasn't okay, really that big a fan of the first Thor. I knew they were all building something bigger, so I was excited about them, but I didn't think yep, they were that great. Iron Man 2.
Yeah, well, you know what? Nobody Iron really Man gives 2. A shit. What'd you think?
Iron Man 2 is fucking terrible.
It's like you're a microphone or something. Yeah.
I'm mad at all of your comments right now. I loved all of those movies.
I like
Eric. Eric, yeah, get his home address. Get his home address.
500
Eric lives at... If you want to call Eric, it's 1-800.
Oh, here we go.
Give him a call. 1-800-ASK-FOR-ASK.
I will answer personally.
You'll be surprised at what he's willing to do for a dollar. My point with all of this, though, is that it doesn't make the other movies less good. But theoretically, since we all love these comic book things, let's just say that we all existed on Earth 2, right?
Yes.
Earth 1, Earth 2. On Earth 2, there was no Captain America. There was no Iron Man. There was no Thor. There was no Avengers. They didn't come out yet. But you know what came out first? Batman v Superman. Suicide Squad. Justice League. Those will all come out first. Do you think that the same critiques that we're getting for these movies would be as harsh if the Marvel Universe hadn't built their empire yet?
Oh, no. The reviews would be at least, like, 3 stars out of 5. Like, if not having the Marvel juggernaut ahead of all of these DC movies. And also, I feel like DC, it would be a smoother transition. They wouldn't be trying to rush, because everything I see from Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad, it just screams like we're rushing. We're just trying to cram as much into this as we can so we can get to a point where we can, you know, contend with Marvel yeah, and where
I
they're
mean,
at.
I would like to remind you that Batman and Batman Forever, which a lot of people panned, got a 40%. On Rotten Tomatoes. That movie still made, I can't even tell you how much money it made. It was insane.
I paid to go see it.
I paid to see it like twice because I thought it was great. I loved it. It was, there was nothing wrong with it.
You'd like to think that in your Earth 2 scenario, at least the professional reviewers, like assuming like the content of the films is the same, you'd hope that they'd review it the same because that's their job is yeah, to accurately review the content of that film in a vacuum, just on the merits of that film. But yeah, to Eric's point, though, I think the reaction from Marvel would be to hurry movies along since they're not the front runner at that point.
Yeah.
And you'd think the content of subsequent movies from DC would be a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
But there's no way to really know. But I think that's probably how it would go.
Quick guess, if the winner can figure out what the rating for Superman Returns was on Rotten
Tomatoes. On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, without looking it up.
60%.
76%.
Damn.
So you mean to tell me the movie that everybody thought was horrible, the movie that everybody thought was garbage, the movie that they were like, well, we need to reboot the whole Superman franchise, had a 76%? Basically, what I'm saying with all of this and my point with all of this is like, you can't judge these movies by these ratings. It doesn't matter because I personally like Superman Returns, except I felt like there wasn't enough Superman action. Like, he was too sleepy. He was like, as I've said in the past, it was like Superman on Ambien.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it wasn't terrible.
No, but that's the thing, is like, you can't judge this stuff by that. And
I actually met Brandon Routh at the 06 All-Star Game at PNC Park.
Oh, really?
Yep. It was right after he had played Superman.
That's pretty awesome,
actually. Because that came out in 2005, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it was right after he had played that.
You got to meet Superman.
I met Superman.
You also got to meet George W. Bush, too, didn't you, when you were working at PNC Park?
Yep, and Steve will like this. Also, Franco Harris.
Wow, nice.
Yep.
Did he accidentally drop something and it bounced off your helmet, and then he caught it at his shoestrings and then ran it in for a touchdown?
Dude,
yeah, it was a beer. It was even more impressive than the football because he didn't spill any.
Way to go, Franco. Congratulations, bud.
He's like, here's your Yingling.
You're welcome.
So basically the point of this is that ratings are just like points and whose line is it anyway?
They don't matter.
No. And I've read actually a number of articles from a variety of different sources about how kind of slanted some of the reviewing can be, not necessarily based on Marvel paying anyone or anything, but like they'll just inflate stuff. So like Fandango, for example – there isn't a single movie that's ever been rated below like a 2.5 or 3 stars on Fandango. Because you know what they do? They sell fucking movie tickets. So
yeah.
They kind of have a vested interest in making all movies seem better than they actually are. And then, you know, IMDb ratings, those are more user generated, just yeah. like what the mass populace thinks. So you get something like Ghostbusters that before the movie's even out gets tanked, and Suicide yeah. Squad gets hyperinflated.
Like, how messed up is that? That people were like, you know what, we're going to give Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters movie, we're going to give it 0 stars on IMDb before it even comes out. And then yeah, vice versa, people were doing that for Suicide Squad. They were giving them 5-star ratings. Like,
and then like the actual like journalistic history and yeah. and quality of the people who get put on Rotten Tomatoes, like expert analysis that actually, you know, hits on some of the rating for it, like whether it's fresh or rotten or whatever. I mean, that could be like Joe's blog. You know what I mean? Like there's some people on there that get on there that don't yeah. necessarily have the credibility of an actual film reviewer with decades of history and expertise either. So I don't think you should really trust anyone but your own gut and the group yeah. of friends that you're with who you know, if Mike tells me, man, that second Star Wars or Star Trek movie, that, I didn't like it as much. Mike being a huge Star Trek fan and someone's opinion I admire, I'm going to go with him. But some random ass reviewer I read online or some website, there's no point to base all your decisions off that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
That's how it used to be back in the day, and I know we're old fogies for that kind of shit. Basically. But, hey, our friends would talk to each other and say what's good and what's not good, and that's how I decide what video game to buy.
Yeah, yep. Or, like, vice versa. This is one of my favorite things. Is a movie comes out in the theaters, you don't feel like seeing it, okay? Or for whatever reason, it gets bad reviews and you don't feel like seeing it. But then it's on cable and you happen to catch it. And you're like, this movie's awesome. Like, where did this come from? And then you all of a sudden you appreciate it. And then maybe there's a sequel and then you want to go see it. Like, give things a chance instead of just shooting them down all the time. Like, everyone wants to just crap all over stuff now. Everybody wants to
sucked.
Say... Exactly, yeah. Goes, it's a bunch of chicks and it's not an original idea. Sorry, Andy, I'm totally imitating you right now.
I didn't like Ghostbusters because it was made me mad and I didn't get Ecto Cooler.
No, I'm just kidding, buddy. Seriously.
That is a really legitimate claim, though.
No, it totally is. Ecto
Cooler was promised to us how long ago?
He made a really good point, too. He was like, this is bullshit that I can't find Ecto Cooler, but I can find fucking Crystal Pepsi.
Bro, I got some Ecto Cooler.
Yeah, you do.
No, I'm not kidding. Like,
no, I'm saying
my brother-in-law had cans of Ecto Cooler. Like, I had a month.
I'm taking my headphones off. I'll be there in 5 hours.
Yeah.
Eric, we're going to Pittsburgh.
Right. He's got an in on the Ecto Cooler.
That's fucking awesome. Oh my god, Andy, are you hearing this? I don't know
Andy?
If it is or not. Andy,
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 Andy.
Andy's gone.
I kind of. I just had a flashback of the Goonies movie.
Yeah.
Andy, you Goonie.
Goonies!
That trope isn't done enough in movies. Shaking your fist and screaming someone's name. That needs to be done more often.
Bring that back.
Curse you!
Like, yeah. Why are we missing that? You want to talk about a movie that got horrible reviews that I absolutely loved? I'd love to hear some from everybody. I love the Jean-Claude Van Damme, Raul Julia Street Fighter movie so fucking much.
I haven't seen it.
It's fucking wonderful, though.
I haven't seen it in years, but I remember liking it when I saw it. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that in theaters because I played Street Fighter as a kid.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. He has a line in here. M. Bison, and I found it. Okay.
Sorry.
Let me turn off Billy Joel. Hang on a second.
I don't remember any of it.
Actually, leave it on.
You don't remember?
Hang on, here we go.
Sorry. I don't remember any of it.
You don't remember?
For you, the day Bison graced your village was the most important day of your life. But for me, it was Tuesday.
Oh, shit.
Slam.
Boom.
Now, then you bring up the Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Like,
after that.
No. You got to play the My Heart Will Go On theme from Titanic.
Or the Battle Hymn of the Republic. See, Steve, this is what you missed last week, man. You got to listen to last week's podcast, man. We found that you can say anything while you're talking about while the Battle Hymn of the Republic is in the background, and it makes it sound epic.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I've seen it.
Yeah. But, like, okay, the reason I love this movie is because it was a total piece of shit. Like, first off, Guile. Colonel Guile. American dude. And it's Jean-Claude Van Damme with his Belgian accent.
Wait. Jean-Claude Van Damme is not American?
Nope.
He was in a movie with Dennis Rodman. How could this be? I don't understand.
He was a goalie for Pittsburgh. How could
what
this happen?
Shit.
Yeah, because you know hockey players are all American, Steve.
Yeah. Sidney Crosby. Boom. There you go. Lawyer.
You're welcome.
Yeah. U.S. as they come.
That guy's American as...
Even Canadian hockey players are American because you know Canada's just one big American state.
Yeah.
You know it.
State of Canada.
It's called Extra North Dakota.
Extra North Dakota. That's North Maine.
Syrup.
Yeah, exactly. It's North Buffalo. It's cool.
To answer your question, yeah. Spider-Man 3 is a movie that I like and a lot of people hated.
Yeah.
That got terrible, terrible reviews.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You guys already know my answer.
Go ahead.
Holes.
That's right. I forgot about your Shia LaBeouf love. That didn't get bad reviews, though, I don't think.
No, for real, though, Eagle Eye. Thought it was awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Thought it was awesome.
Okay.
Explain yourself.
Just the whole concept. Just the whole concept, and spoiler alert: the whole concept of a sentient computer creating that mass murder mystery. I just thought was phenomenal. The twist when you find out it's the computer. I was like, oh yeah! Like, I was just really happy about that. I thought it was really well laid out with the storyline, and the whole twin brother thing. That I thought was a little bit of a reach, but. Like, the fact that he was only able to... He was manipulated because of his DNA.
Yeah.
Being so close to that of his twin brother. But other than that, I just really liked it. I liked the whole... The computer was so manipulative and in such an effective way.
It is hard to overlook the LaBeoufness of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, I agree. The plot is an interesting, like, device. I just think if you had two... different actors in it than the two leads, I think I would have done a lot better.
I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like his sister Rin?
Exactly. Yes. She's the female lead.
So she would have been acceptable, but
is that her,
not Shia LaBeouf.
Thank you.
Yeah. Fucking Kim Possible.
What was his fake name that he had whenever he would do the eating contests? Mike Hegeman.
That's right.
Yeah. Mike Hegeman.
Oh my God! What a deep reference that was.
I loved that show, man. When it was him and his buddy, I can't remember his buddy's name.
Beans.
It wasn't Beans. It was the other
Beans
guy.
Beans was the annoying kid.
Beans
that
was the
liked.
Guy that looked like he had Down syndrome.
Yeah, and he was in Kicking and Screaming.
I hate that kid. But like, no, it was him and his friend, and they kept switching costumes so that they could win the all you can eat contest, and then somebody outed him. And the sister, totally hot, by the way. Christy Carlson Romano? Yeah.
Yeah. Google it.
She's a Romano?
Yeah.
Google it. That's all I have to say.
Just... Oh, what are you enticed now because she's Italian?
We're learning so much about
you. I just
want
to know if she's related
today.
To Ray.
Come on, Christy.
So.
Hey, I like Even Stevens.
Hey, what are you?
It's a good show.
Deborah. Quit saying bad things about my mom. Deborah.
Hey, I'm Ray's brother.
Hey, hello, Raymond.
I'm Brad Garrett.
Raymond.
I'm constantly depressed about everything.
Everything's always about Raymond.
I never watched that show.
Why did we get on this topic? What the
because
shit?
Because we're fucking retarded.
Yeah.
Movie that didn't get great reviews. I loved it as a kid. It has a soft spot in my heart because my grandmother took me to go see it, and we were like movie buddies. We always went to the movies together. The Rocketeer.
I liked it.
Yeah, you know what? I really like that. You know, they're remaking that.
I know they are. I'm excited about it. They're actually, what they're doing is they're not remaking it so much as they're doing a sequel. And what they're going to do is they're going to have a female Rocketeer who is Cold War era instead of World War II.
Nice.
Interesting.
Which I think will be pretty cool, especially with Disney's hands on it, man. It'll be pretty badass.
I found out recently they're remaking Pete's Dragon, or they remade
They did,
Pete's
and
Dragon.
It looks crap. Like, it looks horrible.
I'm probably going to see it. But I wonder if it's still going to have the musical element that the original did.
It looks more like Jungle Book or Tarzan than it does anything else. Because the kid like lived in the wild with the dragon instead of being like – and I went off on like a 30-minute rant with this – or tangent the other night with Sandy. I kept doing a Maine accent to her. I was like, are they going to have all those elements of like the New England accent and like Peach Dragon like hiding in a cave like on the Maine coast?
I remember
– So I heard you got a dragon there.
I remember in college I had an alcohol and chemical infused night – where me and one of my fraternity brothers watched Beats Dragon at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and it was like the best thing ever.
Yeah,
like, this movie was written so well. The songs are excellent. It's relatable.
It's like it's talking to me. So I heard the dragon tried to eat somebody the other day. You're gonna do something about that, okay, Pete?
I can't believe you're bringing this up because I've seen a commercial for it at least 1,000 times during the Olympics. They have like 8 commercials, and that's one of them. And I want to kill myself every time I see it. I can't handle it.
The Pete's Dragon one?
Yeah, it's the same one. I've seen it so many times.
And it's also it's that formula. It's like you've got Carl Urban filling the role of like angry guy who's trying to save everybody. That dragon is dangerous, and he could kill any of one of us at any second. Like, is that what Carl Urban does now? Is he's just angry?
Yes.
That's his job in the apocalypse. He's just practicing for now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was Judge Dredd.
So you figured it out.
Yeah. And he's Dr. McCoy. Dr. McCoy's always pissed off, too.
Speaking of other movie that didn't get good reviews but was good.
Yeah.
Was that movie, Dredd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
dude,
I was
totally
a big fan.
Really good.
Big fan.
Yeah. Did you ever see Dredd?
Nope.
Eric, you got to check it out, man.
It was that, really good. And
is that the new one?
The newer one. It's like 2012.
And,
I think,
Dude, Cersei Lannister. Fucking the bad guy in that movie.
Yeah. Way to go and ruin it. Now Eric's not going to see it.
No, it's like you find that out way early in the movie that she's like the leader of the bad gang.
I know, I'm just being a dick.
But yeah, fucking if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you get to see her as a different type of sadistic bitch.
I think I think one of my favorite movies that didn't get that good of ratings, it's sitting at like a 68 on Rotten Tomatoes. Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was an excellent origin movie.
I loved Unbreakable.
Yeah, it was a really good flick.
And it's like you don't realize it's a superhero movie going into it. But by the end of it, you're like, fuck, I just watched a superhero movie.
That was awesome.
That makes it better just because it's superheroes.
Not just a superhero movie, like, but like the origin story that you didn't know was an origin story.
Yeah.
And like
supposed to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
And it should have been, but M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Shyamalan Ding Dong, if that's his real name.
Him and his brown skin and racial tendencies.
He moved out to the middle of the country. Stopped connecting with people. Went all crazy. Made a bunch of movies about trees killing people.
That's why you can't trust them engines. They start doing something awesome and then they stop halfway through.
I always smell it. No, I can't even say that. It was horrible. I was about to say they always smell like curry, but that's
oh
horrible.
My god.
So what you're saying is they always smell delicious? Abort.
Yes. Yes. Everybody loves curry.
Because curry is fucking delicious.
See, now I'm just thinking of like Everybody Loves Raymond, but everybody loves curry. Like an Indian, Everybody Loves Raymond. Patty, where's my chicken tikka?
Oh, it's not spicy enough.
Come on.
Raymond.
Someone ate all my chicken chunks.
This is my least favorite episode ever.
Ass to ass. I think we set the tone for this episode right then.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, yeah, that it was just going to be off this episode, the ribs minute one.
Jesus.
This episode just went south. I have to apologize to Steve's mother-in-law.
There have been a lot of...
It's her birthday.
I think episode 17, we're sorry, Mary Helen.
We'll do better next.
We know you're not angry, you're just disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah. Extremely disappointed.
Let's pull this train back on the tracks, folks. Let me get some exciting upbeat music and not the police, because the police is like
really bringing me down right now.
I know.
It's really bringing me down.
I know. Every breath you take.
Sting.
You could have picked a better police song.
Get the fuck out of
here.
There's
no such thing.
It's on random, okay?
You know that his real name is Gordon?
Yes.
His real name is Socks.
Dana Carvey had a great bit about like there had to be a point in his life where he had to tell his friends, "I'm not going by Gordon anymore. You guys can call me Sting." And like he had to have gotten his ass
not
whipped.
Stung, not stinging. Sting. Verb present tense. Yeah, no, I love that stand up. That was like when Comedy Central was really really young. They played that all the time. Uh-huh. Yeah. They had like 5 shows that they were just on rotation. It was like Who's Lining It Anyway, that Dana Carvey special, reruns of Mystery Science Theater 3000, and that weird show. It was animated. It was British people, Bob and Margaret. Yeah, okay, Bob and Margaret. I remembered it. I'm proud of myself.
So did Sting noun the verb?
He verbed the noun. That well played, Eric.
He nouned the verb.
Wow.
He switched it up on you guys.
Wow, did you see that? You hear that? Bedazzle, you listening?
Damn.
Sting... just nouned his verb. Aw.
He just re-grammared you.
I mean, he probably did it like 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. So, Queens of the Stone Age. I sat by the ocean. Upbeat. I like it. It's good. It works.
It's better than sucks. I mean, Sting.
Yeah. It's better than sucks. Pussy. Jesus.
Fuck. Get her down. Fucking bitch.
Oh my god. This took a really nasty turn. What happened?
We're turning into the trolls that we hate so much.
You know,
we're trolling the shit out of Sting right now. I'm going to have to apologize.
We're doing a performance piece right now is what we're doing.
Yes, yes.
We're being characters that are not ourselves.
Yes, yeah, it's exactly. All for the sake of the show. We are ignorant rednecks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, we're in Virginia.
We're in Fredericksburg!
Which, like, okay, so when I was telling people about where I'm from, like relatives and stuff like that, and I'm explaining to them that I live in Stafford County. It's close to Spotsylvania County, and I have to explain to them, hey, remember that thing you saw on the news about the place that was trying to build the Muslim mosque, and the crazy white old man stood up and he was like, Muslims is terrorism! I was like, that's where I live. And they were like, oh. And they were like, so did they. Aw. Poor you.
I remember Michael,
we wish you would have done a little better for yourself.
We're not mad. We're just disappointed. Here. I've got a way to fix this. Because of all of the superhero theme songs, I still think that this is like one of the best of all time. So let's go ahead and...
Is it Captain Planet?
No.
This is the correct answer.
Yes. Superman.
I figured as much.
This sets the tone. I mean, Batman's pretty friggin' good, but this one's the jam.
What do we consider Batman's theme song nowadays?
I'm still going with the old...
Not the Adam West, the Danny Elfman one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going with Danny Elfman. Yeah, totally. Like, are we going with that one? Or
I have to say, I am a little partial to the Adam West one. I'm not gonna
All right, lie. If it's the Adam West one, but like where Batgirl's Bat Cycle comes in, because that's, you know, it's a good episode, I'm fine with that. But if it's just a regular Adam West one, then no.
Fuck that.
So we're not counting this one?
Yeah, that's Batman.
That's Batman. Yeah. Because they even use this for the animated series.
Yep.
Which, I mean, for all of us, that's Batman. I mean, really. All right, so we'll go back to Superman because Superman's the jam. But we're setting the tone now. Let's talk about our favorite superhero movies, superhero comic book movies, whatever they be. I think we're going to broaden the genre a little bit because Eric raised a really good point. What about those ones that don't really fit into that category, like Transformers? Are we calling Transformers a superhero movie?
Or Kazam.
Or Shaq Fu. Or video games that weren't even movies.
Steel.
Or just anything we want to talk about, I guess.
We're going to talk about things that we like. Ready, go.
Yeah, I would say anything along those lines is fine. Like, I mean, I'm a huge James Bond fan. Yeah. I would consider him almost a superhero because of, you know, the ridiculous stuff he does and doesn't die.
He definitely fits the bill, yeah.
So yeah. I think we can be pretty darn broad with it.
Let's start with our number fives here. So this is not your absolute favorite, but it's up there when it comes to your favorite comic book movies. I will go ahead and set the tone here. We're listening to it right now. Original Superman movie, 1978, I believe.
It's a good choice.
I was born in 82, so I remember owning this movie as a kid and watching it. And still, like, I mean, it was outdated, I guess, by the time I was watching it, but still, it was awesome. Like, he was Superman. He was the action figure that you had. He was the cartoon that you saw on TV. Like, he fought Lex Luthor, and Lex Luthor had this crazy, insane plan. He was going to blow up California and knock it off the thing because he had bought all this real estate in Las Vegas, and then he was going to have beachfront property. And Superman had to stop him. And Superman couldn't stop him. And then he had to fly around the Earth and turn time backwards because he was fucking Superman, and he's the greatest superhero ever. Like, this is still, to this day, like, I still think this is the best Superman movie they've ever made. I don't think anything has topped this. And, like, if you think about it, look at the special effects. It was basically just, like, Christopher Reeve, like, lying on, like a swing, basically. And then, like, green screening it. And, like, him flying, like, the, you know, like, and somebody blowing into the mic.
No one could handle that back then, though.
No, man.
Like, that was, like, the shit.
The tagline of the movie is, you will believe a man can fly. That's all they had to do. It wasn't like now where it's like, we're going to blow up an entire city. We're going to have it implode. We're going to have this thing drill into the core of the Earth and reset its gravitational pull so that we can turn it into Krypton. Like, none of that. No, it was just like, he can fly and you'll love it, bitches. And like, and that was, and everybody was okay with that, and it was a simpler time. But as Ulysses Campbell, hopefully he's listening, as Ulysses Campbell pointed out last week, he was saying that this was like the this was the movie. This was the first movie that they did that really kind of set the tone, and everybody thought that this was going to be the beginning of the beginning. Like, we were going to get a Batman movie. Because he said he remember going to a comic book convention in New York City in 1980, and it said 1980, the year of the Batman.
And then the movie comes out in 1989.
Yeah, exactly. They had other things come up, you know? Like, you get distracted, you start doing sequels to Superman, shit happens, you know? Yeah, but like, still, to this day, one of my absolute favorite movies when it comes to superheroes. Mr. Eric Meyer, what you got?
So I'm going to start with a pretty obvious one. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge Batman fan. And first Batman movie I ever saw was Michael Keaton's Batman, 1989. Jack Nicholson is the Joker. A little bit past the times with Jack Nicholson's Joker, in my opinion. But I still highly respect it. But it was the first Batman movie I saw. Probably the first actual superhero movie I ever saw. I loved it. I probably saw it a couple years after. In 1989, I was only 3 years old. So.
Yeah. I remember being in second grade. And I remember my aunt Doris, who is like... So, I don't know if you guys have this relationship with your folks. You guys, like, Eric, your mom's awesome. Steve, your mom's cool as shit. EK, I haven't met your mom yet, but I'm sure she's awesome too.
His mom's cool.
I love my mom. God rest her soul. But she was not cool. And, like, she didn't like cool movies. So, like, my aunt...
My mom can do a longer keg stand than I can.
You guys have awesome moms. Like, and my mom was cool in her own right, but she did not like cool movies. So, to go see cool movies, my Aunt Doris, her sister, took me to go see this movie. And I was 7. She bought me the giant tub of popcorn, bought me the big soda. Like, we went and we watched this movie, and it was awesome. It blew my mind. I was like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. I mean, yeah. I was 7, so... Yeah, no, soda.
What? What is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Pop?
Pop? Oh, pop. Gotcha. I follow now.
You weirdo. Jeez. You and your weird words. I'm sorry. When you're mad at somebody, you call them, what was it, jagoffs?
A jagoff.
Yeah.
I do. I've lost a lot of my Pittsburghese, but I've not lost the jagoff. I called somebody a jagoff in the car. In the car earlier, I called somebody a jagoff. It just feels good. I mean,
it's F-U-G-G-I-N. J-A-G-O-F-F. Fucking jagoff.
Fucking jagoff. Trying to get to the freaking fucking Steelers.
Trying to get Danton.
Yeah. See, I can't even do my Pittsburghese anymore.
I need money. Where's the Mac machine?
The Mac machine.
Yeah, I got these. We're good.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, if I could find a job that paid what I get paid now, I would totally move to Pittsburgh. Like, because, and it would
We want you here.
It would be two words. Okay, two words in one conjunction, and that would be Eaton Park.
Yeah, because the place smiles.
Smiles for miles.
Smile cookies.
Dude, I even have their soup schedule, like, on my refrigerator. Because you never know when you might have to go up there and get some smiley cookies.
Yeah, I used to love some Eaton Park when I was in college.
Yeah. It was good stuff, man. Mr. Monic...
Yeah, I'm going to go with a more recent one for my top five. I can't believe it made it this quickly, but Deadpool.
Yeah, I mean, that's my number one.
Deadpool's like one of my favorite freaking characters of all time in comics. Like, he's just the exact right level of humor and action and awesomeness, and the movie did that character justice.
Perfectly.
And that's not easy to find these days in a superhero movie where they nail the source material at that quality. And they did. I mean, they absolutely captured Deadpool's character. And, you know, I mean, the fact that it made more movie than any R-rated movie ever says everything you need to know about it.
Yeah.
And add to that, it busted down the doors for R-rated superhero movies from here on. Because they did it and it was successful. Now other studios aren't going to be as afraid to do that.
Oh, and I loved Ryan Reynolds coming out and saying, like, if you take your kids to see this movie, you're a bad parent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What I like about this, though, is this opens up a whole new world of comic book movies, and I'll explain. Because Deadpool didn't take itself so seriously, but it was still a really good movie.
It was fantastic.
It was tongue-in-cheek. It was funny. It broke the fourth wall. And one of my favorite of all time, one of my favorite comic book series, and if you guys have never read it, definitely pick it up. It is called Next Wave, Agents of Hate. And it is basically just a rip on everything Marvel. It's a Marvel book, but it's like, I want to say it's Grant Morrison works on it. I'll have to look it up. Let me pull it up real quick. But like, it's just joke after joke after joke. Like, your heroes, like the guy who runs the agency of hate is Dirk Anger, which is obviously supposed to be Nick Fury.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful. Like, the cast of characters is great. They make fun of everything. Like, the giant dragon, Fin Fang Foom, is in it, but he's made of broccoli. Why is he made of broccoli? Because they found a way to clone things, but they use broccoli. Fing Fang Food. Hey, wait. Hey! Look at Eric there. Like, it's... Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm sorry, Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen, they're the guys that do it. But, like, your characters, you've got Elsa Bloodstone, who's a monster hunter. You got Monica Rambeau, who used to be Captain Marvel. She was the African-American Captain Marvel. You have Tabitha Smith, who is Boomer? She was on X-Force, and she can make shit explode, basically. And then you have Aaron Stack, the Machine Man. And then you have the Captain. His real name is Captain Blank. It's a horrible curse word. And the word, it was so horrible that allegedly Captain America, when he heard him say it, beat seven shades of it out of him. That's, like, in the story. Like, it's one of the... It is one of my absolute favorites. Definitely check it out. And that's... You could do this now because you've done Deadpool. Now, it's not going to be a big name, and I don't know if a lot of people would really go see it. It would basically be like, hey, Mike Lunsford, want to go see a movie in the theater? Yes. Next wave Agents of Hate. Okay. Like, it would be like that, basically.
Well, I mean, if you look to, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, how many of us actually knew anything about Guardians of the Galaxy when that movie came out? I mean, I
knew about Howard the Duck.
I had seen them, and knew a very, very little about them, but, like, I couldn't have told you the members of Guardians of the Galaxy from the comics or the movie prior to it coming out, and we see how big that one was. So, I mean, I think any comic book movie that comes out has the potential to be huge these days.
Yeah, it doesn't have to just be Wolverine or some marquee character that everyone knows in the household. It could be anyone as long as it's a quality film.
Yeah, and, you know, if I was going to rate, going back to this rant from earlier, if I was going to rate Guardians of the Galaxy, I'd probably give it like 5 out of 10. Like, as far as quality of movie compared to the other Marvel movies and other comic book movies. But I loved it. It was so much fun. It wasn't as good as the other ones, but it was fun throughout. And if you were to pick it apart, like, parts of it are completely stupid. Like, Gamora, for instance, was like the most transparent character ever. She had like 3 lines. She did nothing. There was no depth to her character. But who cares?
I like what Ulysses said on his show that you guest starred on Saturday, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic form.
He said that she was so two-dimensional, if she had turned sideways, you wouldn't see her.
Right? Exactly, yeah.
And I love that quote, because that's exactly...
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't put it any better than that, because that's exactly what she was.
But that kind of goes back to the point of, it doesn't matter. They're fun.
Oh, the movie's fantastic. Yeah. I don't give a shit if Gamora sucked.
Like, and, like... Yeah, I mean, I think we all kind of would want Gamora to suck. I mean, just, I don't know about you guys, but, like... I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan, so I got a thing for those green girls anyway.
Yeah,
so, yeah, you know. But, like, the best part of that movie, I still think, is Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, by far.
Just when he's like, and I need you to get that that prosthetic arm. And he brings it to him, he's like, I can't believe you did that. Like, what do you... I was just messing with you. I just wanted to see if you do.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great movie.
And the soundtrack. I mean, like, listen to the music just now. Like, I mean, that song starts playing in the beginning, and you're instantly, like, locked in. You're like, okay, I'm listening. Like, this is good. And Suicide Squad kind of did the same thing with the soundtrack just being killer. And it just draws you in.
Yeah, it's just a fantastic... fantastic movie in general, and it had a really good sound, really good soundtrack as well. Now I'm playing a song right now, except I'm not getting it in stereo.
Yeah, you're not getting it in stereo because we had issues with the cord. Remember?
Oh yeah, the cord.
What happened to the cord, guys? What happened to the cord?
Got it. Fixed it. I actually have a cord that I can donate to your cause. That'll replace that one. Anyways, so this is off the Punisher soundtrack. This is the Thomas Jane Punisher.
That was my favorite one.
Yeah, that is my number
one. Not only was that one my favorite Punisher, but my favorite, I guess, semi-sequel was Dirty Laundry.
Yes.
It was a short,
like
an independent Punisher thing. And if you haven't seen Dirty Laundry,
check it out
with
it's
Thomas Jane. It is the most incredible. And you talk about the accuracy of a comic book. Portrayal in film, man, was it done so well and so that ending moment, not ending moment, but that line.
That part when he's like, do you know the difference between justice and punishment?
Oh, my God.
That was one of our bumps in the beginning when we first started doing Pirate Radio. Yeah, I might have to put that back now because so I just remember good. How much I love
just
that.
Such a great, this, that all culminating.
You might have to
moment.
Play that Beavis boner sound effect because I think that's just what happened. Like, I was, yeah, just thinking about like that sound drop from the Punisher. Like, I'm excited.
Just that whole short film.
Yeah.
Is so incredible, start to finish.
Yeah,
And just the beaten Frank Castle. Just
yeah, the guy who directed that. That's the guy who directed Dread.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he was trying to say he wanted to do another
Phil Juno or whatever.
I can't remember the guy's name, but yeah, it was the same guy who directed Dread. But yeah, this movie. If you want a good revenge flick, and it doesn't even have to be a good comic book movie, just an overall awesome revenge flick, and you love seeing John Travolta get fucked up and killed in the end of a movie, get this movie. Watch The Punisher, because I mean, I'm just ruined it for you, but like, it's almost the payoff was the best part. It's just the build up because that ultimate plan that he had throughout it, where he just like, he laid the whole plan out, and then at the end he was just like, made you kill your wife, made you kill your best friend.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like that was, he's like, you killed my son, and then you hear the no.
I love in the background. We're talking about doing like isometric exercises. Yeah. He's like, see how long you can hold this up.
Yeah.
And just watch him blow up in the.
Yeah. It was the first time that we've seen a Punisher go from like, because he was like, he was around his family. He was happy. He was like, I get to retire now. You know, I get to have this cushy job. And then you got to go to see him go from that to being ruthless and just murdering people.
That's what was great about that character, the Punisher in general, is that he wasn't out for justice.
No.
He was out for punishment.
This isn't justice. This is punishment.
Right. And Thomas Jane, well, that's why he was my favorite Punisher, is because now, his portrayal was very much.
I will say this. You haven't seen Daredevil yet.
I've seen the first couple episodes.
Oh, good. You started it. Okay. Yeah. When you get to season two, John Bernthal. Shane from The Walking Dead is the Punisher in season two.
Oh, he makes an appearance.
And he is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's amazing.
He may challenge your love for Thomas Jane, because I still love Thomas Jane, but I think I like Bernthal better as the Punisher.
I have to be fair, too, in saying that that's my favorite Punisher. I have still yet to see Ray Stevenson's Punisher.
It wasn't that good.
How about Dolph Lundgren's Punisher? Was that the war
zone? I've seen Dolph Lundgren's, and I guess as far as 80s movies go, it was good.
It was the best 80s movie
I interviewed Ray Stevenson, and Eric was here for it. It was like when we first like met each other, and he helped me out with the interview. And Ray Stevenson, I asked him, I was like, all right, so it's you versus Thomas Jane versus Dolph Lundgren in a cage match. Who's winning? And he was just like, well, I would just think that because the Punisher, I would never be involved in such a thing like that. And I was so pissed. I was like, I just wanted to be like, dude, don't be a dick. Just answer my question. Like, are you going to fuck them up, or is Dolph Lundgren going to kick
you
your ass?
You missed an opportunity.
Yeah,
like,
you
could have been like, well, as the Punisher.
Yeah.
As the reigning Punisher, of course I would win.
Yeah, no, and he was just so smug and British about it. He was like, I'm a pirate and in a movie now.
and to give him credit, I have seen Black Sails, and it's pretty good.
Yes, he's badass. I'm not talking shit about you, Ray Stevenson, because you would probably kill me. But seriously, dude, you're awesome in Black Sails. I love you in Thor.
But we wanted you to be fucking badass.
I wish you would have just answered the question.
We wanted
man.
You to be like, I'd fucking kill those other Punishers.
I'd slit Thomas Jane's throat and then I'd punch Dolph Lundgren in his mouth.
Call in right now.
I'd rip Thomas Jane's head off and then hit Dolph Lundgren with the severed head. We wanted you to be. We were giving you this fucking podium to
you
jump off.
You wouldn't do it. Son of a bitch.
We set you up on the ropes and you just wouldn't jump into the kick.
Yeah. It's just he wouldn't do it, man. Eric.
I guess he's just classy.
Got a number four, buddy?
Unlike us scumbags. Ass to ass.
Ass to ass. I'm sure Ray Stevenson knows about ass to ass.
I'm sure he does, Mike.
How did he get the role of the Punisher? Ass to ass.
Everyone's got to pay their dues.
Eric, what do you got as number four, buddy? Hang on, Eric's having a moment.
I think we all are.
Actually, I would probably have to go with Deadpool.
Okay.
So, I mean, we've already discussed that.
Yeah, we talked about Deadpool. Enough, yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, Deadpool's probably my number four.
Okay.
So, on repeats, we'll ask additional questions. What was your favorite, like, part of Deadpool?
Yeah, that's a good call, Steve.
Like, your favorite, like, scene?
I really like the scene with Colossus.
Oh God, he made that movie
where he keeps punching him. He just keeps punching him, breaking his arm, and then he ends up like sawing his arm off and falling in the truck. I thoroughly enjoyed that.
I thought Colossus stole the show when he was fighting Angel Dust.
And her boob
pops out. He goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not alone." And she's like, "Oh, that's so sweet." And he goes, "Yes, I try. I'm X-Men. I hold myself to a higher standard." And oh God, he was so. It was the first, and like they had fucked him up so many times because before he was just some white dude. He was like, "I can help you. I'm Colossus." You're like, "That's not Colossus."
Yeah, and that,
you're
that's
supposed to be Russian, you prick.
That's another thing. I think it's been how many fucking X-Men movies have we had? And we've not had a good Colossus. I think that's another reason I appreciated that scene so much was. Yeah. That's Colossus, finally. Thank you. I mean, fucking CGI.
Thank you,
all it takes.
Deadpool.
You don't even, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Steve.
Yo.
What you got for Num?
The first movie to feature Colossus, X2, X-Men United.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nice.
I really, really liked the X-Men as a kid. Like, me and my buddy Jim, who's like a big Spider-Man fan, like, we'd always kind of go back and forth. Like, he'd tell me, like, all the stuff that he, you know, all these awesome Spider-Man storylines that I'd never read. And I'd talk about X-Men. And then, you know, he eventually would convert me to be more of a Spider-Man fan than I currently was. I'm pretty sure I failed miserably in converting him into being an X-Men fan. Because with X-Men, you kind of are a fan or you aren't. That's just the way it goes. But X-Men 2 is fantastic. Like, that opening scene with Nightcrawler teleporting through the White House. Like, that's how you start a movie. You know that shit's going to get pretty damn serious as it goes on. And, like, the storyline was well-written.
Yeah.
What's-His-Face playing Stryker was an excellent casting.
Captain O'Hagan from Super Troopers.
Exactly. Yeah, so, I mean...
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, everything about that movie was excellent. And I really like that they... In a lot of the other X-Men movies, they just got way, way too Wolverine heavy.
Yeah.
And that one I felt like, I mean, there was obviously a good bit of Wolverine in it. I mean, it was kind of his origin and stuff. But while he was doing his discovering stuff and fooling around with Lady Deathstrike, the rest of the team actually had shit to do. It wasn't like, hi, I'm Colossus. Oh, wait, I'm dead. Yeah. I'm going to go do Superman now. Like, they actually had other people doing things during that movie. And I very much enjoyed the balance. Because that was the best part about the X-Men. It was a team. It was like... The team all had their own special abilities and their own flaws, and you got to pick out your favorites and see how they interacted with each other, and they didn't always get along.
Yeah.
And that was the best part about it, and I felt X2 captured that the best.
Yeah, and that part where the Stryker's like assault team comes in and like attacks the X-Mansion, and Wolverine just goes apeshit and starts killing people, I was like, you start fist pumping in the theater, man. You're just like, yes, here it comes.
Even though Colossus was a little like teenage white guy.
Yeah.
I was so pissed when Wolverine turned down his help. When he's like, I can help you. I was like, yes. Yeah. Yes, help him.
Yeah.
I was like, fastball special. Fastball special, do this.
the only downside that I have.
Leave the theater.
Get out. The only thing that I disliked about any of the X-Men movies, those first three, is the underuse of Cyclops. Because we never really got to see him just like... Let
loose on people with his like laser vision,
and he never really did. And
he was there as like a story prop for the Jean Grey,
Wolverine,
Cyclops,
thing.
Wolverine triangle,
and that made me mad. And
like, he did contribute more to that love triangle than he ever did to any battles.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Just playing the smug jerk that he is. Yeah, I haven't seen the new one yet.
I have not seen Apocalypse either.
I'm gonna have to check it out probably online tonight, illegally, but but
what?
I'm hoping he's got a bigger role in that one.
I think he does.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he does. But I'll check it out at some point, and then I'll let you know next week, guys.
Oh, Mike,
Steve, you gave us your number four. EK the DJ.
I'm gonna have to play catch up because I think I missed the first couple of rounds.
We're only on number four, so I mean you can do five and four.
Okay.
Wait, you said Deadpool was your favorite, so you got
Deadpool.
To talk.
Deadpool's my one.
Okay.
So I started at the wrong end.
Okay, we're kind of just going all.
But
over
if
the
I
place.
Were. And
which is actually funny that you say you started at the wrong end because the title of this episode is
Ass to Ass.
Okay.
So superhero
we're talking
about our favorite superhero movies, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm a little liberal with the whole superhero.
Yeah.
Okay. What defines a superhero? Does it mean superpowers?
Yeah.
Because Batman's technically not a superhero.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
But given that line of thinking, if Batman's a superhero, then coming in at number five, so is fucking Tank Girl.
Okay. Comic book. It's a comic book movie.
Yes.
So there you
comic
go.
Book
you're
from
good.
Dark Horse Comics.
You're good, man.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Yeah. Comic book movie. Okay.
Yeah.
So perfect.
Yeah.
So Tank Girl was an
And Lori Petty when she was still really hot.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Incredible. The whole portrayal of that psychotic, like, post-apocalyptic lifestyle, I guess.
Yeah.
With, what the hell is the name of the bad guy in that movie?
Are you talking about the actor?
Yeah.
What's his name? Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell. So good. And the whole water thing and, like, it being more valuable than money and you trade water for stuff and...
Yeah.
It just everything about it. And then, of course, the kangaroo hybrid fucking the rippers.
Yeah.
Were so awesome. And, like, I loved that the retarded ripper was.
Oh, I got baseball cards.
I would say that's. Tank Girl is an underappreciated movie for sure.
That's my number five.
I'd almost say that almost fit in with what we were talking about before. Underrated movie. Movies that got panned critically, but you love.
Oh man, I had Tank Girl on digital MP4 format, like, so I can watch it on my phone whenever I want to and reference parts of the movie.
Absolutely.
My number four.
Yeah, and how's dating life going, EK?
Things are slim. Things are looking grim.
It's not looking good, Steve.
It's not looking good, Steve.
we're gonna work on that. We're gonna find. We're gonna find the next Mrs. the DJ.
Mrs. the DJ.
You just need to find number your four. Tank Girl.
Yeah, indeed.
You need your Tank Girl.
That's what I need. Number four. The Crow.
Ooh.
Which they're actually remaking.
Caliber Comics.
And they're talking about Jason Momoa being the Crow.
He did sign on.
That's, you will be able to see an article about this on Comics Online written by Andy Barsh himself.
That's
sweet.
Awesome. That's awesome.
We talked about this morning. See, Andy, it's like I knew what I was talking about.
So I like the original Crow, and I actually like the sequels too, not as much critical acclaim there, but I like the original Crow a whole lot because the story was so good. And the relationship between the cop and the little girl, and just there was so much going on there. And then how they carried that story over to the second movie, the little girl grown up and whatnot, and the crow comes back. And just I really liked.
Yeah.
I just really liked the original movie. I liked it a lot.
It was one of those movies that really, like, first off, like, we say this, I think we use this too much, but Brandon Lee died way before his time.
Yeah.
Like, he really, this was his movie, and it was such a wonderful film. And it's a cult classic, but it also is just a fantastic film in general. If you've never seen it before, check out The Crow. It's an excellent action flick. I wish I could remember the actor's name, but he's the bad guy in this movie, and he played the Guy of Gisborne in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and he's got that awesome gravelly voice. Like, you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't need anybody to know his name, but, like, you guys know who I'm talking... The guy's awesome.
Yeah, I remember The Crow, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that awesome gravelly voice like this, yeah. Yeah. Always.
That movie ages very well.
It does, yeah. Like, it's...
There's some movies like Spawn that does not age very well.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
But The Crow does.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful movie. All right, so now we're down to number three on the comic book... movie, superhero movie, big top 10 list, even though it's top 5. We're going to have honorable mentions too, so if we miss any, we'll definitely be able to bring those up as well. Number 3 for me, and we talked about him earlier, you mentioned, and I didn't really get to rebut this at all, and that's fine. I'm okay with that, because now I can use my moment. You said you didn't really like Captain America that much.
The first one.
Okay.
I'll give you just, I'll let you start, and so I'll give you just a little glimpse as to why. It wasn't bad. It wasn't like I walked out of the theater saying I want my money back. You know, at the time, I was like, it was okay. But I didn't walk out wild like I did after Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Which, not many movies hit me the way Winter Soldier did, so that's saying a lot. But my biggest issue is the final fight scene with Red Skull. It was just totally, like, kind of washed over. It was short, unclimactic. They spent more time with him... on stage. Like, I understand they needed to do the origin story, and it was good watching him go through the paces of all that, but they had him on stage for, I think it was, like, I timed it one time, like 8 minutes of him parading around on stage, like, with a bunch of kick line dancers, like, really?
Exactly.
I mean, and then the final battle with Red Skull is like a montage. Yeah. It's like not even an actual fight scene. It's a freaking montage. So that's what upset me about it.
I can appreciate that sentiment. I personally loved this movie because this was the first. Because I had this. Jax was really little. I mean, you know, you were around when Jax was really small.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get to get into these movies early. Mm-hmm. Like the first, I saw Iron Man. Iron Man was wonderful. Yes. Iron Man was. I love Iron Man.
Yes.
And in fact, that'll be. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But Captain America, I absolutely love Captain America because, one, I'm a history buff. Like, I don't know, I really don't talk about it much on this on the show, but I absolutely love history. And I loved how they made this, like, an alternate World War II timeline with, like, the friggin', why did I just forget what the damn thing? Well, it's a cosmic cube, but why can't I remember the
Tesseract?
Tesseract.
One of the Power Stones.
I couldn't remember for whatever reason. I was just reading the Steve Rogers thing, so I was thinking of cosmic cube. So the Tesseract, and, like, the Tesseract made weapons, and, like, there was Nazis, but it wasn't just Nazis. There was also Hydra. I just thought that was really, really awesome.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great.
Eric has a has an oven mitt that is the Infinity Gauntlet.
It's the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Wait, seriously?
I do.
Yeah. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. You can take anything out of the oven with that.
No, you absolutely can't. There was a recall on this product, and you will burn the shit out of yourself.
I was going to say, I've seen many pictures of those, like, melted as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot use this because it has been recalled.
Novelty
only. Hey, you could use it once.
Just once, and that's it.
And then take a trip to the hospital.
Yeah.
I loved Captain America, and I'm kind of combining two Captain America movies with this because I love this movie, but more so I loved what it set up. I love the character. I love that, like, he's this tragic character where it's like everything that he was no longer exists. And it's like, where do I fit in this world? What am I other than being Captain America and fighting for America? So I guess I'll fight for S.H.I.E.L.D. So he really, it's hard for him to identify who he actually is. And I think that that's really rare in characters because most other superheroes know exactly who they are. Like, Iron Man knows who Iron Man is. And Tony Stark's like, I'm drunk, I like banging broads, and I like making awesome shit because I'm smart as hell. Like, that's Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, the Hulk, he's like, I get angry and I smash shit. Thor's like, I'm a god. I say funny things, and I have an accent, and girls swoon over me. Like, they all have their thing, except for Captain America, who's like, all I really have to stand by is my dashing good looks and America.
America.
Yeah, and that's rough, man. And then go into Winter Soldier. To go into that movie and then not really have anything left. And you bring back the one person that was your best friend. And he wants to try to kill you. Not only does he want to kill you, he stands for everything that is opposite of you. That is gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
And the way that movie ended, the way Winter Soldier ended was absolutely phenomenal. Like, it was one of the best endings to any movie I've ever seen.
Oh, I absolutely loved Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
And I'll say Winter Soldier is what it is because Captain America, the first one, set it up.
Yeah.
Really, to me, it's just that 8 minutes of kicklining that I'm angry about. Like, that's what I'm angry
about. And the Eric Meyer cut, you would just have that removed, right?
Yeah. It would
Eric,
go down to,
like,
2 minutes.
If you have,
like,
a better way to sell war bonds, I want to hear it, pal.
We got to get money to the troops, kid. Okay? We got to get vibranium armor for them, okay? There can only be so many of those shields. Yeah, I mean, that's my number three, is the Captain America / Winter Soldier combo. Because I bought it as a DVD combo pack, so I figure I can rate it as one movie. So
nice.
There you go. Eric, what's your number three, man?
I'm going to go with the first Avengers.
Ooh, good choice.
Because we watched it start with Iron Man. We watched it build up Captain America, Thor. We all knew it was coming. We saw it. You know, at the end of Iron Man, Samuel Jackson shows up, Nick Fury. And
yeah,
there was just such an anticipation to it.
Yeah.
And I just remember, like, ever since, like, the first Iron Man, going through each movie, just, like, waiting for it to happen. And when it finally came, like, I loved it. It was fucking fantastic. And it proved, because there was a big question prior to that, if you could do a team movie and have it work.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because can you pull it off? Can you make it interesting and give everybody something to do?
Yeah, and there had never really been
a
good team-up movie like that as far as, like, the superhero world.
That's a really good point. I would still not say Avengers is my favorite, because I like the individual stories more, but I loved Avengers.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I totally agree.
Avengers was my number one. I bought a movie ticket for that film 10 times.
Nice.
I went three.
I love that movie so much.
I went three.
I have this thing on my phone called Time Hop that shows me all of my old, like, posts on Facebook and all my old tweets. And it shows that 3 years after the movie came out, I was at home watching it on Netflix, and I was, like, live streaming it. I was talking about, like, the movie as I'm watching it. I was like, how come I didn't see this movie? This movie's so cool. Like, and then I was like,
did you guys know about this?
Have you guys heard of this Avengers movie? This is great. Yeah.
Yeah, like, Grandpa, we heard about
it. Yeah, I know. But, like, it was, I absolutely loved it as well. All of the characters were true to form.
Yep.
And you had this awesome thing that they were fighting against. Loki was freaking phenomenal as a bad guy.
Loki, still to this point in the MCU, Loki has been the best villain of any of the movies.
I guess we can't count out the MCU, though, because I love Magneto, and I love Michael Fassbender as Magneto. I think he is the best Magneto. I love Ian McKellen, but I think Fassbender's better.
I will give you that.
That scene in First Class, when he walks into the bar in Venezuela, and he goes, I know a lot of guys like you who are pig farmers or tailors. And then, like, they pull the gun, and he just stops them dead in their tracks. Yeah, and shows them the tattoo on his arm. Like, that was badass,
yes,
dude.
I'll give you that one. I'm not technically considering those as part of the MCU.
Because it's Fox,
So. But if we're just talking straight up Marvel villains, I mean, he's far better than anything that's been in the rest of the Marvel canon. But
You didn't like Abomination? We all forgot that movie existed, didn't we?
We did.
Yes,
Yes, we did. Steve, what you got for number 3, bud?
Well, my number 2 and 1 are gone, so this, I guess, now is my de facto number 1, because we talked about Winter Soldier and Avengers.
Yeah.
But Spider-Man 2, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 2.
That was the
ultimate Spider-Man movie to this point. I mean, there have been 5, and that is far and away the best one. It holds up. It's not terribly dated other than the fact that he uses a payphone at one point. Like the villain, Alfred Molina's Doc Ock is
fantastic.
Perfect from the comics.
Yeah. I was trying to think who the villain in that one was. Yeah.
It's the best Spider-Man movie. And I mean, the Spider-Man Homecoming has a lot to live up to. Like, that's the bar for Spider-Man
movies.
I
agree. That part where he stops the train and he passes
out.
Oh,
God, the train scene.
His mask comes off, and they all are like, my God, he's just a kid.
Yeah.
And like,
same age as my son.
And like, Eric showed me before when we were talking about, which movie we were talking about, and you were like, it gives you goosebumps when we were talking about it.
I think he was talking about Winter Soldier.
I think so. But like, same thing. Like, that scene is one of the most moving scenes I've ever seen in a comic book movie. Like, when, and all of the people on the train stand up, Doc Ock is like, give him to me. And he's like, if you want him, you're going to have to go through us. Like, I was like, hell yeah. And the kid, the little kid hands Spider-Man his mask. He goes, here you go, Spider-Man. We're glad you're back. Like, that's...
We won't tell anyone.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I totally agree, Steve. That is one of the best comic book movies of all time.
And it's one of the... Like, it doesn't get brought up a lot because everything with what DC's doing, what Marvel's doing with their cinematic universe, like, some of the older stuff... Some of it rightfully so, like the Fantastic Four movies and, you know, Ghost Rider and stuff. Like, that stuff gets pushed away, and it doesn't necessarily deserve to be talked about anymore. But I think these Spider-Man films do. Like, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man films are really good. I mean, just J.K. Simmons' J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, no one has ever done a better job as a role-playing character in any film ever. I mean, he was amazing.
I mean, it's like they took him right out of the comic and just
threw
him into the film.
Yeah,
for
my only main
character.
Yeah,
that guy ate up every ounce of scene he was in.
Yeah.
He was so good.
He was. My only knock on that one is I don't like
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, I don't like her. I don't think she makes a good Mary Jane. But it was okay. It was forgivable because the rest of the movie was so good.
I can give you that too. I mean, there. I don't even care what's on everyone's list. There is not a perfect movie.
Yeah,
and that's probably the one you could argue was the weakest part, especially because I guess Tobey Maguire and her like hated each other, and that made the chemistry on screen less than stellar.
Yeah.
So maybe if you have a different Mary Jane in there, you Spider-Man 3 ends up being a little stronger of a film. Who knows?
Possibly. Yeah. EK the DJ.
Did I miss my turn again?
No, you actually came at a perfect time, buddy.
So this is 3?
Number 3.
Okay, so this was tough for me because my 3 and my 2, I like them both equally.
Okay.
And they're both DC-based.
Okay.
So my 2 and my 3, I'm going to say, are actually a tie for number 2.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with probably the less popular of the two, Constantine.
Ooh.
Never saw it.
I'm sorry.
With
did you say Constantine?
I did. Come at me, you son of a bitch.
No, the one with Keanu Reeves. I thought I was the only one who ever saw that.
I went and saw the movie in the theater. I love that movie.
I have to preface this with, number one, I am a Keanu fan.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of movies that he's done that I have not been a fan of. One of my favorite quotes of all times comes from the movie The Replacements. Pain heals, chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever.
Fuck yeah.
And John Wick, or as I think it should have been titled, Keanu Shoots Everyone in the Face. I am just a big Keanu fan in general. So Constantine, as far as comic book movies go, I had never read the comic. My introduction to the comic was the movie. And damn it if I didn't love the whole heaven and hell, constant battle on earth, and only some people that have been, you know, disturbed at some point in their lives can see the demons. And I loved so many, there were so many great scenes that played out. Like when the priest goes in and he's trying to drink and he thinks that he's not drinking anything, but he's actually fucking down in bottle after bottle after bottle, and he drinks himself, you know, to his doom.
Yes.
The portrayals of the demons, like the dissipation of the bugs,
or the one that's played by the lead singer of Bush, Gavin Rossdale.
Oh yeah.
Then he uses the friggin' holy brass nux to whoop his ass. Like, I love that
shit
scene.
Out of him.
Yeah.
But I just really like the whole,
which we've all wanted to do. Anybody who grew up in the 90s wanted to beat the shit out of Gavin Rossdale. Let's all be honest.
I like the whole movie. I like the dark undertones to it. I like the element of, you know, you don't see this in comic book movies a whole lot, where there's a darker side. And I like that. I like the darker side. That's why Deadpool is my number one, is because, you know, it's adult. It's comic books for the kids that grew up reading comic books. You know, they're adults now. They want the darker side. They want the realism. And meanwhile, obviously there's a little stretch calling Constantine realistic. But as far as like the real issues of the world, you know, you're dealing with suicide, you're dealing with lung cancer, you're dealing with like real issues. Yeah. You know, he's going through this personal struggle of, I know I'm going to hell, but I've still got to fight the good fight.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I just love that so much. So, yeah, Constantine, that's my number three.
I know you're back and forth, so why don't you go ahead and do your number two?
He's with the
adorable baby Luca tonight, so.
Number two, and like I said, two and three were tough for me because I like them both.
Yeah.
I really like them both, and they're both DC. Mm-hmm. Two, V for Vendetta.
Ooh, good pull.
It's a good movie.
With the current state of political affairs in this country, it's not too much of a reach to see that being a world we could find ourselves falling towards. And I'd like to believe that if we ever got to a point like that in the world that we live in, that a hero like V would exist.
Right here.
I'm saying.
Come at me, bro.
Eric's got this.
Someone
talk shit about his Batman shirt. You'll see what happens.
Oh, it's on.
I liked the element of classiness to V, as well as the commitment to his cause.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's definitely an unhinged characteristic about V, but at the same time, a very refined touch of class that I really respected.
I can appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I can totally dig that. Yeah, V's good, man. V for Vendetta is a good flick. Honestly, I love what you're bringing to this, because you're not bringing anything that me or Steve or Eric are coming up with. We're just coming up with like your typical,
I like Batman. I like Batman and Superman, and I like when things explode.
Well, you're bringing in the other stuff, the fringe stuff, which is great.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the thing about me in general is, number one is I assumed that the greats would be covered.
Yeah,
I assumed that.
Yeah,
And obviously it was a safe assumption because
we're hitting them all. Yeah,
I also love those other movies.
Yeah,
but the movies that really stood out to me are the fringe movies.
Yeah,
the fringe movies are they're my favorites.
I can dig that, man. Yeah,
when it comes to like Tank Girl, that's why that's why it's my number five is because as far as it's a comic book movie. But it's not a superhero, and you know, it's a kind of an obscure comic. Dark Horse Comics aren't really, you know, if
the
you
lizards.
Like, Yeah, okay. Welcome, Kevin.
Welcome, Kevin Goswan, editor-in-chief of Comics Online. Hey, guy. He was busy talking to a girl on the phone. He couldn't join us.
So Dark Horse Comics aren't really popular, but I'm a fan of Dark Horse Comics. Side note, Dark Horse and the Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, see it.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of Dark Horse Comics, and I'm a fan of the fringe stuff. I like the off-the-cuff. I like the more adult. I like the post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
And your Batmans, your Supermans, your Avengers, your, you know, your mainstream heroes are more about life as is with a superhero element.
I gotcha.
Where I like a more disturbed world. I like a more, you know, I like a world where, okay, yeah, they fucking need a hero.
I see
they,
what you're saying.
They,
yeah.
Like, it's
that reminds
beyond
me, I need to do my laundry.
But you know,
we can be your personal digital assistant, Kevin.
You know, Tank Girl is a post-apocalyptic sand world, right? When they need the water, and then the Crow. You know, you're talking about that was a fucked up. There was a lot of fucked up stuff going on in the shadows in that movie.
Yeah.
You know, Constantine, you got hell on earth, demons and angels fighting it out.
Yeah.
And then V for Vendetta. It's I don't know if you'd call it post-apocalyptic, but post.
It's about to become the
apocalypse. You know, you know, the government control.
Totalitarian
government.
Yeah, your Big Brother type stuff, your 1984 Orwell stuff, very Orwellian, absolutely.
EK, did you like the Hellboy movies then?
I did.
Dark Horse?
I did like the Hellboy movies.
Those were great.
And actually, I met the writer of Hellboy at a Comic-Con a couple years ago. And I was asking him why there wasn't going to be a third movie, and if there was going to be a third movie, what should it be? And he went on to say, well, it should be more about. He said, if there was going to be a third movie, and they actually were in talks about it, it would take place all in one house, and that was all he was really willing to divulge, is that the entire movie would take place on one set in one house.
Yeah, but I'm sure there'd be like alternate dimensions.
It was a specific storyline that he was referencing.
Yeah,
and he told me to go back and read the comics, and if they don't release the movie, I'll at least be able to know the story.
Say that I talked to the guy who did this.
Well, I'll know the story that they were going to use. I'll know the storyline they were going to use for the movie.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, Kevin, if you want to catch up, man, we've been doing our top five favorite comic book / superhero movies of all time.
All right.
We're up to number two. Eric just did his number two. So if you want to catch up, you certainly can.
On the air. I think I've said this on the show, on the Comics Online podcast previously.
Yeah.
I think I've mentioned what my top five are. When it comes to top five superhero comic book movies. Now, granted, you know, there are, you know, like Eric just said, there are some, like Sin City, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Sin City is an excellent, excellent comic book movie.
Yeah.
But it's not at all a superhero movie. And so I kind of, for that reason, you know, shove it out of my mind when it comes to, okay, what's a comic book movie? Because to me, comics are generally about superheroes. They're not about, the seven evil exes or whatever that was. You know, shit like that.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim. Oh, fuck that movie, man. I hate Scott Pilgrim.
Isn't that more of a manga than a comic book, though?
It's not about... Well, it's still a comic book. Ultimately, it's still sequential art, so it's still a comic book, even if it's formatted like a manga. So what I go for is... can I give you Gatorade? Sure, but I'm on a podcast right now. Do you want to say hi to the podcast? Come here. Do you want to say hi?
Hi.
Hi, Coraline.
This is Coraline Jubilee, listeners. How old are you, Cora? Four. All right, go next. Go.
If you ever get the chance to listen to Coraline Jubilee singing the Hamilton soundtrack, it is definitely worth your time. I was treated to that when I was helping Kevin move into the new palatial estates of the Comics Online Palace in Northern Virginia. So
Stupid Sexy Flanders.
Stupid Sexy Flanders.
Stupid Sexy Flanders.
We need a lot more Simpsons references.
We do, yeah. The more Simpsons references, the better.
Find me a restaurant to manage in Northern Virginia, and I will move in. I will rent my house out here.
Nice.
Dude, you know what? I'm off tomorrow, and I'm off Friday. I think we're going to find this. We're going to do this. This is happening.
Yeah.
You're going to look for a job for me.
I'm looking for a job for another guy. Why isn't he here? I don't know. Don't worry about it.
He's so committed to his job that he's working his other job now.
Yeah.
A job and a date.
There we go.
I need both of those things.
We'll find you a hot, like, GM who's looking for a manager.
I think if I move to Stupid Sexy Flanders, the odds will be more in my favor.
Oh, yeah.
Because, the city.
Especially with his, like, with Kevin's shag pad that he has there. Like, I mean, it's just made for ladies to just be like, oh, wow, your house is so nice. Yeah, I know, baby. Let me show you my balcony.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing
sure,
at all.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, as soon as people get here, I mean, that, you know, the ladies just want to take their clothes off as soon as they get here.
Well, I mean, I'm not even there.
Turn
I'm tempted
the thermostat
to take my pants
down.
Off.
Oh, is that what it is? It's just a thermostat problem.
We've named, gosh, we've had the Avengers. We've had... Spider-Man 2, we named X2, we named the Thomas Jane Punisher, we named Deadpool.
And you know what? All these things are great. Yeah. All these things are great. So yes. Let me tell you, let me give you mine.
Do it, man.
And they are, and unfortunately, I'm not quite decided, and I think I just kind of, it's because I am bad at decisions and waffle back and forth at things. But let me give you some of my top five.
Great.
You were about to say Deadpool. That has definitely jumped into my top five. Also in there, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
And Ant-Man. So apparently I like the comedy ones.
Which I don't think anybody's going to blame you, man. I dig Ant-Man a lot. Yeah,
yeah
that's
I,
in my
I
honorable
like all
mention.
Of those. Definitely, yeah.
And then when it comes to, you know, beyond that, you know, what else do I like? I still kind of and then you know what else has to go in there? Has to go in there a very non-traditional superhero movie, which is Captain America 2.
Yeah, we all nailed that one too. We got Winter Soldier. Yeah,
yeah. I spoiled a long time ago. That's my number two.
So. Yeah, and then beyond that, I mean, is it going to be Iron Man? Is it going to be Avengers? Is it going to be something else entirely? Not sure. But those are four out of my five.
Well, those are great, man. Yeah, I mean, those are all in our wheelhouse, all ones that we are definitely on the same page with you for. In fact, you actually, I'm going to do a great tie-in here. You just mentioned my number two as we start the music for it. Yeah.
Yeah?
I am Iron Man.
I was blown away by this movie because... For me, like, I knew they were making this movie. I knew it was going to come out in the theaters. It looked cool. But then when I saw it, there was a depth to this movie that I wasn't expecting. And, like, you had your hero, like, that wasn't just like, hey, I'm billionaire playboy Bruce Wayne going around being Batman. He was essentially Batman, but all of a sudden Batman had a heart. You know? It was like, you know, so to speak, you know? Because, you know, the whole, like, arc reactor in his chest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like... He had that, like, almost, like, Christmas Carol-esque change of his ways. It was like, you're going to have shrapnel in your chest, and you're going to have a guy help you build a cool thing, an electromagnetic that'll keep the shrapnel out of your heart. And then you'll be visited by three hot chicks, and then it'll be Christmas. But, like, the story...
I wish that's how Christmas works.
I know, right? Then you'll have an awesome suit, and you'll get to blow people away, and you'll fly. It'll be awesome.
Happy Hogan, go buy me a goose.
The largest goose in the store. The one as big as you, Happy. Run, Happy, run! I loved this movie from start to finish. I loved Robert Downey Jr. I felt like this was like his coming out party.
He really was an excellent Stark.
Yeah. This was his chance at redemption after he had a pretty rough go of Hollywood with his drug issues that he was having. But what better character than Tony Stark?
You can call it drug issues, but that guy had a fucking blast.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm absolutely sure he did. And I love that there's this whole, like, Aunt May, Tony Stark thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
And then they're showing pictures.
What's that about?
They're pictures of them from the 80s, and 80s and 90s, when Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. were hanging out. Like, oh, no, he's already done that. Don't even worry about it, Peter. He might be your father. Like, I thought that was awesome.
Oh, I've never even seen that. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty wonderful. But I love this movie. And like not only that, I love Jeff Bridges as an actor, and I love that he was the bad guy. Like he played that role so well, because I was like, oh, they're best friends. Aw, the dude from The Big Lebowski is his buddy. And then it turns out the dude is a dick. And like it was a good turn. It was a good start for this whole Avengers thing that they were doing.
It was a good start for the Comics Online podcast. By the way, listeners, if you want to listen more about Iron Man, you can listen to Season Zero's episodes 1 and 2 are all about Iron Man.
Sweet. There you go. Shameless plug for Comics Online. And you can check that out at www.comicsonline.com. If you go right there, you'll see our RSS feed right there. You can put it in there, and you can subscribe to the Comics Online podcast. So that's my number 2. Eric, Mr. Eric Meyer. I know we've already trampled all over each other, so I mean, if you want to name your one, yeah, we'll just kind of discuss. Like, yeah, it seems like the only way we're going to be able to do this.
I'm just going to number 1. We've already talked about Winter Soldier. That's my number 2.
Yeah.
I love Winter Soldier. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I'll touch on it real quick.
Yeah.
The opening scene, and maybe not the opening scene, but the scene where they drop down on the boat and you see Captain America make his first couple hits in that movie. That's, it just spoke to me. Like, you see those dudes fly back.
Yeah.
Dent the boat. And,
yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, this Captain America is fucking serious.
It reminded me.
This ain't your daddy's Captain America.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that first scene from Call of Duty Modern Warfare where they attack the ship. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not a Call of Duty fan.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'm the only loser that played that game.
Yes, you are.
I like World at
Fuck
War.
You.
Okay. But still, it just reminded me of that scene, because like for gamers, like everybody played that game, and it was like I saw that and I was like, this is even better because he's got a shield and he's just busting heads. And
yeah,
I thoroughly enjoyed that too. Yeah.
So I mean, I think Winter Soldier was on everyone's list.
Yeah.
So we can jump off of that now to my number 1.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people disagree with this. Maybe a lot of people agree. I don't know.
You were talking to me about this while I was on the show on Saturday, which by the way was fantastic form. Please.
The floor is yours, my friend.
Fantastic show, by the way. Fantastic form. Check it out. Dark Knight. And Mike mentioned something about Dark Knight being one of his favorite movies and kind of got shut down.
I got shut down hard,
On
dude.
Fantastic Form. I texted him and I was like, dude, I wish I was there. Fuck, why am I not there to defend this right now?
They shut me down hard.
Yeah, yeah.
How?
I'm boggled. I don't know how. Like, I could see people saying, like, oh, that's not the number 1. That's on my list, but it's not number 1.
They're basically saying that, like, the Christopher Nolan Batman stuff is not true to the comics. And they're saying that the Joker
is most definitely not true to the comics.
As good as he was, as good as Heath Ledger was, that Joker is not the Joker from the comics. And
no,
that the Joker would never have been that smart and that tactical and that organized for a plan. That it would have just been pure chaos. And
it's
I saw what they were
that's
saying.
That's their argument, though, because I've read so many different things that say, like, the Joker's plan doesn't make any sense. How could he plan all this stuff?
Yeah.
And like, their argument for why it's not good is how little planning there was. So now you're saying there's people that are arguing there was too much planning from the Joker? Like, what the fuck?
And even Nolan himself even said that he wasn't trying to be true to the comic books.
He wanted a real life.
It was his own spin on things.
Which is why I love it.
That's my favorite Joker.
Yeah.
Hands down, yes. Heath Ledger.
Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's my favorite. Just because,
well, no,
like...
I like Mark Hamill's voice.
Yeah.
And he makes a great cartoon Joker.
Yeah,
But I don't think Mark Hamill would make a good live-action Joker, as much as I would love to see that happen. For shits and giggles.
Willem Dafoe would make the best live-action Joker.
Oh.
I don't know. I think Steve Buscemi. I think Steve Buscemi
would make a good
Joker.
He looks like the Joker without the makeup.
I have to agree with the Steve Buscemi comment.
I honestly thought when they were doing The Dark Knight that they were going to do Buscemi instead of Heath Ledger. And when they announced Heath Ledger, I was like, that fucking pretty boy, really?
Yeah, I said the same thing. I was like, there's no way he's going to pull that shit off.
The douchebag from A Knight's Tale? And then, like, I was like...
10 Things I Hate About You? Seriously?
That's what we're getting?
10 Things I Hate About the...
About the Joker?
Yeah, but he is my favorite Joker. And I am actually. I've seen Suicide Squad. I'm a fan of Leto's Joker. A lot of people aren't, but Heath Ledger just takes it. Like, whether or not he's true to the comics makes no difference to me. The movie is an entity of its own, and I think that's kind of why I like it, because they took something we love and kind of put his own spin on it, and wasn't just trying to recreate a comic book that we all read 20 years ago.
And name
it was believable and fearsome.
Exactly. And yes. like name a final line for a movie that's better than that one, where he's like, he's not the hero we deserve, he's the hero we need. And you were just like, damn, like that's deep, dude. Like it was.
Or the reverse.
I can't remember how. I can never remember how it actually goes. But like, he's not the hero we deserve. He's the hero, or he's not the hero we need. He's the hero we deserve. Oh, yeah. That's right. Because Two-Face was bad. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Two-Face. Oh man, Two-Face looked awesome in that movie.
Aaron Eckhart's a great actor.
And Aaron Eckhart was legitimately bummed when he found out. He was like, oh, wait, I'm not going to be in another Batman. I'm dead. He was legitimately upset. He was like, well, shit, I thought I wasn't dead. I thought I was just like, you know, like every other Batman movie is like, oh, now I'm off in prison. Like,
yeah, I fell off a cliff and end up in Arkham Asylum somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he was legitimately bummed. And that shows you like how awesome those movies were.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of disappointed by The Dark Knight Rises.
A little bit. Yeah. And
it was filmed in Pittsburgh. It's the perfect movie.
There are no flaws to this movie.
Hines Ward was in it, goddammit.
Yep. He won that game 7-0.
Hines Ward 7, everybody else nothing.
He also
Gotham Rogues 7.
He also won Best Actor. Nobody saw it, but it happened.
Best performance for a wide receiver in a football movie. Even though it's not a football movie, it was a Batman movie.
Best football movie is Rudy.
But I liked Tom Hardy.
I don't
Hardy.
Know, man. The replacements are pretty great.
I like Tom Hardy as Bane.
The only problem that I have with Bane in that movie, and I'm gonna find him right now.
Was it the voice?
I'm looking for a specific video clip. If you guys have ever seen the Venture Brothers.
Yes.
There's a villain on the Venture Brothers named Baron Von Underbite.
Von Underbite.
Yes. Baron Von Underbite is Bane, basically. Like, it's the same guy. And it pisses me off so much because everybody was like, it was such an interesting take. And it's like Tom Hardy was just sitting around lifting weights because he was fucking jacked in that movie, by the way.
Yeah.
It was like he was lifting weights and he's like, well, shit, how am I going to come up with a character? And he was watching Venture Brothers and he's like, that's it. I'll be Underbite.
Nailed it.
Here we go.
You know damn well.
Name.
Baron Unterbite.
One, all persons associated with the Guild of Calamitous Intent recognize that by virtue of their presence in an event
I have been a bearer of the 1967 Charter of Casual Contact, and come now, why would little old me want to start any trouble?
Tell me that doesn't sound exactly like Bane.
Yeah.
Like, that's totally Bane. Yeah. Like,
that's so him!
What are you talking about?
It sounds just like him!
Oh my god, it's like Ray Romano's actually here.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh and in Fredericksburg.
That's the one henchman.
Was it 23 or 27? Which one was he with the high voice?
I can't remember. I have it engraved on a flask I got from Critter's wedding.
That particular episode.
Because we would do Venture Brother quotes back and forth.
That particular episode, though, is the one where they're, it's the tag day sale. And that's where
he buys the lightsaber.
Yeah, the big fat nerd was like, no, no, I don't need a bag. I'll be wearing this out. Yeah, like that's, yeah.
You know, the weird thing about this year's Comic-Con is we didn't have any interview with Doc Hammer and Jack in Public.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You normally get them? That,
and that's like an annual thing. If you go back and watch like the past 6 years of Comic-Con, you see Doc Hammer cuddling some representative of Comics Online. Like it's our tradition now.
Yeah, and
where we have a stand-up interview with them, and Doc Hammer just is hugging our interviewer the entire time.
That's awkward and wonderful all at the same time,
isn't it?
Yeah,
It started out; it was really cold in the room, and so he was like, "Well, I'm just gonna go and just hold you." And it was Crows, I'm just gonna hold you like we're in a prom photo, and. And so, and just shiver up against you during this interview. Is that okay? And Crows is like, okay.
Sure, whatever.
Whatever. and so then from there on out, that was the joke. That's what we would do every time. You know, and it's funny, when you're in a press room with these people, and we're the only outlet that is doing this weird thing with them.
Nobody else had the balls to do that.
Because it's our thing.
Well, yeah.
We're the Doc Hammer lovers.
You run that shit. Is what you're saying.
We run that press room.
Okay. Comics Online has balls of steel.
Balls of steel.
Hit the button.
Yeah, hit that button.
Mike
Do we have
Lunsford,
that? There it is.
Balls of steel.
You're goddamn right. Steve Monick. Bitches.
Yo.
Let's talk about your number two and your number one, since they're probably we've already mentioned
we
them.
We already did.
Yeah.
It was Winter Soldier and Avengers, respectively, but I guess I can do a couple honorable mentions.
Yeah, I think we've all kind of devolved at this point. Like, we might as well just start talking about, like,
yeah,
all of the movies that we haven't touched on yet. Because
just go back to Meat Spin.
So Ghost Swan brought up, like,
that. That's
funny.
The name of the episode tonight is comic book movies ass to ass. So
nice.
You know what we mean.
Meat Spin ass to ass. I thought we agreed on this.
Meat Spin ass to ass.
Oh, okay. So these are Kevin Smith comic book movies.
Oh, my God. This has been such a horrible episode. We started
not horrible in quality, but yeah, horrible morally.
We literally started saying, you know, maybe we should go back to the format where we weren't cursing, because then we could appeal to a bigger audience, and Steve's mother-in-law will listen to us again. And Steve was like, no, my mother-in-law still listens. She probably cringes, but that's okay. And then Eric was like, well, then fuck that. And then it was just, yeah.
Let's talk about Meat Spin.
Let's talk about Meat Spin. And two girls, one cup. I wanted to touch on Dark Knight, which we did. I mean, we talked about how great that movie, how much I love that movie. It was, I went and saw that movie, and I remember walking out of that movie, and, like, I felt emotionally drained. I was just like, that movie was so good. Like, I couldn't find any flaw in it. I was like, everything about that movie was great, and I really, truly enjoyed it.
The first time I saw that movie in theaters, the theater actually, like, something happened with the screen, and it cut out halfway through the movie. Like, right as soon as, like, Joker does the pencil trick, and then it cuts. And the movie's done, and they couldn't fix it. We all got free movie vouchers, and I actually ended up getting two of them. And so I went to go see it two more times. But I was so...
Instead of taking somebody else, you went twice.
Yep.
That's dedication is what that is.
I was fucking livid, though, that I couldn't see it. Like, that night, I didn't sleep that night because I didn't get to see the end of the movie. Like, oh, God, I was so mad.
Having dreams about, like, what it was really like.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't figure it out, yeah.
And it was, like, right at such a good Joker part, too. Like, he does the pencil trick, and you're like... Holy shit! What the fuck? What just happened? I'm gonna fucking kill someone.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna do the pencil trick on somebody here in a second.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of another comic book movie that I absolutely love that we haven't mentioned. I feel like we've hit them all.
Yeah. I mean, we've mentioned
I can think of, I can think
Guardians
of one.
Of the Galaxy.
I don't believe we've mentioned that. I think is a good. I think it's good. It just wasn't good enough to make my top five.
Yeah.
Blade.
Some motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill.
I'm saying
I love Blade.
Blade, the whole Blade series I thought was really awesome.
Yeah.
I thought so too, and so many people give so much shit to that series, and I thought it was wonderful.
I thought one and two were really good. Number three.
Dude, Brian Reynolds was in the third one.
Patton Oswalt was in the third one.
Patton Oswalt was in the third one.
There's no movie that's not improved by adding Patton Oswalt.
You know what's funny, though? Hey, there it is. You know what's funny about that, though, is there's some really, really good gag reels for Blade 3. Go to YouTube, guys, and check out.
Fantastic ones.
So Wesley Snipes completely lost his shit and was just completely insane. Like, wouldn't let anybody refer to him as Wesley on set. Like, he was Blade. And, like, would just leave in the middle of filming a scene and just go sit in his trailer. Like, so they couldn't even get reaction shots from him. So what they would do is, like, they would take old scenes and splice it. And Ryan Reynolds was just having gag reels where it was just, like, Blade was just like, And that was his response in the car. And Reynolds is like, so what if I just unzipped my pants? And, Oh, okay, so you're down with this then. All right, well, let's get it on then, Vampire Hunter. Like, it was... absolutely fantastic. Like, Ryan Reynolds made that shitty movie. Well, that and Triple H was in it, too, so...
Triple H.
Could we at least just call him Eric?
Yes.
Yes, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
We're okay with that. Can we name some... I mean, did we miss anything else?
Well, Kevin brought up, like, funny comic book / superhero movies. I always liked Mystery Men. I always thought that was a hilarious movie, and they got kind of that superhero vibe to it.
Yeah.
I love that movie. I mean, if you like Smash Mouth, that's your fucking movie right there, guys.
It's not in Shrek.
Well played.
Yeah.
You like Smash Mouth.
I always got a good laugh out of that movie.
Yeah.
Dane Cook is the Waffler.
I did enjoy Mystery Men.
Yeah. Mystery Men was a pretty good flick.
I forgot about
that
one,
actually. If you like Smash Mouth... Now try Zima.
Well, look at Eric, man. Just on your game tonight. I really enjoy Gem and the Holograms. No, I'm kidding.
I haven't seen that yet, and I'm going to.
Sandy wants to see that movie so bad.
It's on demand right now, and I've been every time I'm going through my on demand, I'm like, I want to watch that.
Oh God, I kind of have to watch.
Because I watched the cartoon when I was a kid.
Because, Steve, because it's truly outrageous. For the same, truly outrageous.
For the absolute same reason that I watched the Josie and the Pussycats movie, another movie based on a comic book, because the Archie comics.
Rachel Lee Cook is hot as balls. That reason, too.
Yeah, she is.
And yeah.
Josie and the Pussycats technically is counted as a comic book movie because they were a spinoff of the Archie comics way back in the day.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
All right, fine.
In the same way that Infinity Gauntlet is considered an oven mitt.
Exactly.
You can use it once.
There's a recall.
You know what I mean.
There was a recall.
It ain't happening
on it.
Again. You know what's funny is on Hallmark.
It's just so powerful that you can only use it once.
I read something where they're saying that the Infinity War is only going to be one movie now. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's like 75 actors in this movie. It's going to be insane.
I thought that it was they were just naming one of the two, the Infinity War. It's going to be Avengers 3 Infinity War and then Avengers 4, which is a direct like two-part sequel. It just has a different name.
They may still be doing a fourth Avengers movie, but as far as I know, the Infinity War has been condensed into one movie.
I'm hoping it's like 4 hours long then.
Yeah.
Because what the fuck?
Yeah. Like go Braveheart on us, like the 3 VHS.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
gonna
be fucking Roots in a minute.
What's your name? My name is
Star
Lord. No,
Falcon,
your name's Toby.
Black Panther, then.
Your name is Black Panther. No.
Okay, maybe. What's the other one? What's the one with the white samurai guy?
White Samurai.
Not the Tom Cruise one. Anyway, the old miniseries.
Shogun?
Shogun. There you go, Shogun. Yeah. Or Thornbirds.
Something
anyway.
Like Thornbirds? Jesus. You are older than us. Did you also watch Dynasty, too? Jeez.
No.
Dallas. Watch that.
I did watch a little bit of Dallas, but only because I had to. That's what parents would watch.
Yeah, no, I had to watch that shit with my mom. I remember that, yeah. That, and I remember watching that in Three's Company. I remember I had to watch that, too. But I love Three's Company.
Three's Company.
Oh, you know
bad.
What you guys missed out on, you know, when it's in its first run are things like The Incredible Hulk. Because, you know, I was watching that when I was a little kid.
Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on in reruns when I was a kid, so I got to watch that all the time, yeah.
Well, yeah, but you were watching it in reruns. I was watching it, you know, I was waiting for CBS Friday night.
Yeah, Mike, you pussy.
Bitch.
You suck.
Back to this again? Back to the nerd rage? Jesus.
We're fucking trolling, all right?
Yeah.
Listen, dammit. You guys, you don't own fucking Ghostbusters. I was there when it came out. You were infants, if that.
You don't love Ghostbusters like I love Ghostbusters.
This man has no
idea. Saw it in the theater when it was new.
Bunch of buttholes. Jeez. Other comic book movies. Are we missing any comic? Oh, you know which one I really love?
Probably a bunch.
I like Hancock, the one with Will Smith.
Oh, me too.
Was that a comic book?
I was going to bring that up as
superhero.
A joke.
What else? I feel like we're missing so many comic book movies.
I mentioned Unbreakable.
That's a good superhero.
There's so many. We're never going to be able to touch on all of them. But yeah. I would very much like to do a follow-up episode, not necessarily next time, but sometime.
What about
the converse of this, the absolute worst comic book movies that we can just tear apart?
What about The Passion of the Christ? Is that a superhero movie? Because, I mean, he takes a beating and then he comes back. I mean, like...
He's got superpowers, so probably.
Thank you, EK.
Of course, the Jew would make the joke about The Passion of the Christ being a superhero movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, duh.
Clearly, it's fantasy.
Fantasy.
Does that make me racist?
No, it's okay. No, we had this long conversation the other day about how racist people are in this area. Like, if somebody eats bagels, they'll be like, "Why do you like bagels so much? Are you Jewish?" And like, I started talking about that. I was like, "What? Only Jewish people can eat bagels? You guys
not
eat bagels down here?
That's so not fair." No. And you know what? I had the same argument with some ignorant asshole about fucking the fried chicken with black people. Fucking fried chicken is delicious.
Everybody loves fried chicken.
Who doesn't?
I like
don't
fried
like,
chicken. I like grape soda. Does that mean I'm black?
If you don't like fried chicken, I don't trust you. There's a problem if you don't like. Fried chicken is fucking delicious.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
I would smack a bitch for some fried chicken. I mean,
for real. For like that whole concept.
Swanson,
always,
you're lucky you're a male dog. So,
that whole concept always bothered me. The whole like the whole racial food assumptions, the Jews like bagels with the you got to have a good schmear. First of all, cream cheese on a bagel, fucking delicious.
I know. It's just a fact of life. Okay, let's just get down the brass tacks.
Indian people and curry, fucking curry is delicious. Like,
it's terrible. You're wrong.
I agree. It gives me diarrhea every time.
What's the other one? Shawarma. Shawarma, fucking
shawarma's
awesome.
Not Indian. Shawarma is Mediterranean.
No, I'm just saying. Arabic like food, you talk about these the foods that belong to certain cultures and like that like to categorize it and use that as a racist thing. It's like, fuck you. Don't use food for racism. Food is delicious. Food is what brings us all together.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite food is watermelon. Or my favorite fruit is watermelon.
Yeah. So, I mean. Steve actually has a whole fruit cellar at his house for that.
I really enjoy watermelon too. Yeah.
The fruit cellar. Which when I went to his parents' house for his bachelor party, I said that would be a great name for a gay bar in Pittsburgh is the fruit cellar.
The fruit cellar. I like it.
Yes. Business idea.
You see, Steve?
That is a really good. That is a really good name.
Yeah, that and the toolbox. Those are, that's
fruit
another
seller.
Yeah. The toolbox is another good one too. Yeah, I've got ideas for days, guys. We can keep. We're gonna be rich one day, all off of my ideas, and I'm okay with this. I think. Do we consider Jedis to be superheroes?
If we do, this podcast is gonna be 4 hours long.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I was gonna say we just opened up a whole box of worms on that one.
Yeah.
But yes. I kind of lump the Star Wars movies into superhero movies. Like, if we're talking directly superheroes, I don't normally throw Star Wars in there.
But in my own
opinion, yes, I do kind of.
I feel like we have to not do it because then, like Steve said, we'll be here for another 3 hours talking about movies that we love.
And
we'll have to save that for fantasy. I think that'll be a whole nother, whole nother thing,
And we are at the 2 hour mark.
We are at the 2 hour mark. So, Kevin.
2 hours and 16 minutes,
sir.
You missed it. Well, we started technically at 8:15.
Yeah, that was the pre-show.
I had a special intro just for you, and you weren't here for it. And I know, right? I had a special intro just for you because we were going to do a Comics Online / Comics Online Pirate Radio mashup. So I'm actually going to play that for you right now, and then we're going to do a spoiler.
This is the
alert.
Longest intro ever of a show.
I know, right?
And here we'll play the intro, and then we'll have a 2 minute show, and then we'll cut it out.
Actually, no. I guess what we could do is we could always just record that later. Huh?
No, it's fine. Do it. It's funny. Come on.
Do it now. It's funny. Shut up, Lunsford. Get to work.
Get to work, Lunsford.
Push the damn.
Oh, and by the way, EK, hey, you know we got to do. We got to drop. You know, being as though you got the Mike Lunsford and the EK the DJ drops from John St. John, you got to do the Kevin Smith one for me.
Where is it?
Oh, we can.
Kevin
can get that.
Goes one is a true goddamn American hero.
We can do that.
Yeah, I need that sample.
It's from the first podcast. I can get it for you. No problem.
Yeah, I definitely need that sample because I don't have that one.
Okay, Kevin, are you ready for this?
I'm. Da 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 da. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
For everything geek pop culture.
All right, Kevin goes one, and this is Comics Online.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Makes them not shenanigans at all, right?
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
You mess with Eric the DJ, and I'll rip your head off and down your neck.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Traitor!
Mike Lunsford, Balls of Steel.
Be like, oh, these are stupid guns.
Guns are for jerks.
Do it! Come on! Kill me! I'm here! Come on! Do it now! Kill me!
I am Locutus of Borg. Resistance is futile.
Verb
all
the nouns.
All of the
nouns. Verbing all the nouns.
It's called Pirate Radio.
Bitches.
From the guitar builders to going off like gamma bombs. Switch your internet browser to comicsonline.com.
Spoiler alert. You're listening to the Comics Online podcast, season 16, episode 34, comic book movies, ass to ass. My name is Mike Lunsford. I'll be your host tonight. And with me, I've got Kevin Goswan, so he can introduce the Comics Online podcast, because I introduced Comics Online Pirate Radio. Here's Kevin Goswan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Comics Online podcast. I'm sort of your host, but really it was Mike tonight. So thank you so much, Mike Lunsford, my editor and host of
of Comics Online Pirate Radio Extraordinaire. And hey, it's been awesome to have these two podcasts slam together like
ass to ass.
Like ass to ass.
It always comes full circle. Always
like
comes full
ass.
Circle.
Just like a good ass.
Well, listeners, I'm glad that you've enjoyed this. I'm just going to assume that you've enjoyed this. I'm going to enjoy listening to it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. It'll be up on the podcast feed very, very, very soon. So since we got to do the intro, I'm so glad because I worked on it and I was very proud of it. I was like, it's like having both of them together. It's like peanut butter and jelly in the same jar.
I thought it was going to be more like a more nuanced, layered thing where one was going to just kind of – where you're going to go back and forth between the two.
I did one of these
a few years ago when I went to England and crossed over with two other podcasts simultaneously. And I did our theme song and their theme songs and our intro and their intro and then just kind of folded them in together where it was awesome. And I used it, and they used their – when they posted it, they just used their regular intro. I'm like, come on, guys.
Okay, we get it. You're better than us than everything, okay? Like, we get it, okay? I had 20 minutes to do this shit while I was on lunch break at work, okay?
Oh, no, I don't blame you a bit. It took me hours. It took me longer to do that than the whole rest of the entire editing process.
See, but now you've challenged both me and EK the DJ to come up with a better mashup, which I think we can, because we now have a whole week to do it.
Yeah, and you can go and put in the Kevin Smith stuff, and you can use the entire Nomad song.
No, we're going to use Mbop.
That sounds really awful.
And Stupid Sexy Flanders.
Stupid Sexy Flanders on repeat.
Feels like I'm wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
I love it.
Must be Mbop.
Yeah, so my beautiful and talented daughter has been watching Pokemon XY all afternoon and is on episode 13 now. Is that too much screen time?
Possibly, yeah. I mean,
they're about 15 minutes apiece.
Well, that's not too bad, then. I mean, 15 minutes apiece, that's...
13 episodes, it's like 3 hours.
Is it? For every four, it's an hour.
12 divided by...
Yeah.
12 times
an hour.
It might be 20 minutes apiece, but anyway. They go pretty quick.
I mean, I binge-watched the entire Daredevil series in basically one sitting, so...
Yeah, when we wrap this up, that's probably what I'm going to do, is watch another episode of Daredevil.
Wrap this up, you say? How about a little Daft Punk to wrap up the show?
That sounds delicious.
Okay.
I like some Daft Punk.
So this has been a wonderful show. It has been an orgy of disgustingness and vile things that we've said. But then we also said some nice things and some sweet things. And we talked about movies that we liked. And then we talked a lot about asses. A lot.
And we did a little bit of trolling.
We did a little bit of trolling. We talked about dongs a lot. We talked about meat spin. What did we learn today, guys?
We learned that Steven's mother-in-law is not going to listen anymore.
I'm not going to tell her we recorded this.
He's going to go in and like forcibly delete all of the podcasts from her phone and like from the internet. Like, it'll just be like wiped from existence. It'll be like that. It'll be like that planet in episode 2 of Star Wars that just went missing. Like, it'll be like Kamino. Like, you just can't find it anywhere. Where's the droid army? We don't know. The planet's missing. It's going to be wonderful. But this has been a great night. I always enjoy having you guys around. This is like the highlight of my week. I love doing this podcast because I love hanging out with my friends. And it's always a joy to me to do this. But also, too, it's a joy for me to do this for the listeners. I hope you guys are enjoying this. I really do. If you are, message us at podcast@comicsonline.com. Let us know you're listening. Let us know that you want to be involved in the show. Let us know things that you want us to talk about. We would be more than happy to include you in the show. It is an interactive radio program.
We love feedback.
We do love the feedback. While we're at
it. Just don't be a dick about it.
Don't be a dick. Yeah, come on. Don't be that guy.
Don't be a fucking troll, man.
Don't fucking knock it off, man.
God damn you, Bernice!
Yes. Wonderful. I want to thank Kevin Goswan, our glorious editor-in-chief for Comics Online. Comics Online when you get a chance. ComicsOnline.com. It is everything geek pop culture. We've got tons of stuff from San Diego Comic-Con. Very, very soon we will have a podcast reviewing all of the cool stuff that we've gone over at Comic-Con. It'll be myself kind of moderating. We'll have Kevin. We'll have Matt Cernacker. And we'll have Alex Pomerantz as well discussing all of the cool things that they saw. My big thanks to Eric Meyer.
Yep.
Thanks again, buddy, for coming out.
Hey, it's always fun, man.
I appreciate it. We're going to get you to a point where you're just going to be running this shit by yourself.
Just me.
One day.
It's just me in a room all by myself.
Just you just angrily yelling at people, threatening to punch people in the face if they talk to you.
People call in and it's just me cussing them out the whole time.
Hey, Batman's an asshole. You're an asshole. Come down here and say that to me, bitch. Punch you in the face. Where is he? Where are the drugs going? Where is she? Big thanks.
What's in the box?
Who's that guy? What's in the box? I love that movie. wonderful stuff. Big thanks to Mr. Steve Monick for making the time for us, because I know he's got a busy, busy, busy life up there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, let's make like safe sex and wrap it up, huh?
Hey! Let's make like a tree and get out of here.
All right, Biff.
EK the DJ. Again, thank you for being a wonderful host in your awesome FXBG Pirate Radio Studios.
Anytime.
My name is Mike Lunsford, and instead of me doing it, I'm going to let Kevin do it because it is his day. It is his, like, thing, man. He started this shit. Kevin, we're Comics Online. Go ahead and do it, bud.
And for everything geek pop culture, I'm Kevin Goswan, and this is Comics Online. Bitches.
Bitches.
Bitches. Bitches.